edition of We Talk Wrestling with Addy and Mo. Hey yo, I'm Addy.
Hey yo, warning, this podcast will contain the word fuck.
Are you fucking serious?
Yes, that's right, it's We Talk Wrestling,
fuck
it's back
it.
On the air. That's
it
right.
Is, it
it's,
is.
As only we can do it,
and
we probably won't say it again.
Fuck no. All kidding aside, though, we'll start off with a somber note because we're sad to report the passing of Freebird Buddy Roberts.
Freebird Buddy Roberts. I can't really say too much about him just because I didn't. I mean, he was the older member of the Freebirds. I didn't see him much. I mean, his career is winding down. Just as you know, I'm getting to discover kind of wrestling in that area and everything like that. So I haven't seen him a lot personally. I'm not too overly familiar with him, but I know he had a long and respected career. So,
well, yeah, he passed away at the age of 66. I mean, really, when you say that he was the older member, I mean by quite a bit, because you think of when Gordy and Hayes were starting out, they were teenagers.
Yeah,
you know, they were 17, 18 years old, 16 in some cases. But I think when the Freebirds came together as a three-man unit, you know, he's still teens. Were Hayes and Gordy, where Buddy Roberts had been. We talked about, God, almost 2 years ago now when Oliver Humperdinck passed away.
Yeah.
Is that Oliver Humperdinck was the manager of the Hollywood Blondes, the original Hollywood Blondes.
Yeah.
Who, you know, were huge in Quebec and down even in Florida, sort of traveled to North America. Buddy Roberts was a member of the Hollywood Blondes back then. So mm-hmm. you think of sort of transitioning from the 60s to the 80s. Mm-hmm. You know, he definitely, you know, he was
probably a good dozen years older than those guys.
Yeah.
And the road had owned him already. So he looked even older still.
Oh, definitely. I mean, the whole reason that they put Buddy Roberts with the Freebirds was to calm them down.
Yeah.
And that didn't really work.
No. The road had owned him for a reason.
I mean, he had throat cancer, he'd smoked, he, you know, then and sort of he had that, I think he had the voice box when they mm-hmm. had the WWF, you know, world-class championship wrestling DVD documentary. But, I mean, started Canadian from Vancouver,
mm-hmm.
British Columbia, Canada, you know, just one of those guys that, great worker, you know.
Yeah, very solid worker.
Kind of a Tully Blanchard-like
Freebird. He wasn't a big guy. You know, wasn't a big guy at all. He was a good hand, a natural heel, and had a very long, respected career. You know, nothing, yeah.
And, I mean, yeah, very much respected career. I mean, like I said, when you think about those Hollywood Blondes, you think of, I mean, he was brought in originally as, after, Johnny Valentine had, an accident, was paralyzed from the, crippled from the, actually, he was brought in his brother to be managed by him so that they could continue to keep him on TV originally. But, you know, too bad. Trying to go back and watch some of those Freebird versus Von Erich, you know, matches.
Mm-hmm.
And just, you know, anybody that wants to know what...
And he was a mentor.
Well, anybody that wants to know what he did.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
go back and watch that stuff.
Exactly. Exactly.
That really was... He's the best. I mean, when he lost the hair match, he put the wig on, that was something Kurt Angle would steal years later.
And turn it into a comedy thing.
Well, it was a comedy thing when Buddy Roberts did it as well.
I suppose, but yeah, not quite as ridiculous. I mean, it's a comedy thing because you're laughing at him, because you're laughing at his situation. With Kurt Angle, it's a comedy thing because he was so goofy and obviously just, you know. He had the amateur deal pulled in place and all that. So
that was completely stolen from Buddy Roberts.
Well,
that's
did
exactly
he have the
what he did.
Place?
He had the amateur thing holding the wig up. That was exactly, and it was played the exact same way. It was basically a carbon copy.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah,
I thought he had that. Maybe I'm getting confused, and here's where, and I've done this before, with Buddy Roberts and Nature Boy.
Buddy Rogers. Right.
And I see the big flock of hair.
Yeah.
And maybe that's where I'm getting confused. There.
It could be,
thinking
but no.
That was the wig.
The chant, you are bald, and I'm not bald, look. And, you know, and he's got the headgear on, and he's, you know, television. I think it was against Iceman King Parsons was where he lost the hair. So, but I mean, that's to me, that's my memory of Buddy Roberts, is that that wig and the hair.
Okay.
Personally, but no, it's too bad. It's you know, he's got a lot of friends in wrestling, and I mean, it really is too bad that he wasn't around to be inducted in the WWE Hall of Fame, because the Freebirds definitely.
And you know what, you say the Freebirds should be in. I agree, the Freebirds should be in. But unfortunately, what you're probably going to see is Michael Hayes get inducted in, and I don't know when or if you're going to see those other guys for a long, long time. I'm not sure though. I think there's always been an assumption that they'd be inducted in as a trio.
Yeah.
And then of course there's also the fourth, right? In Ronnie Garvin or Jimmy Jam Garvin. But that said, Ronnie's stepson, in real life stepson. Yeah, but. That said, I always think Hayes will get in, but I'm not so sure about the other guys.
Well, now when you look at a trio where two are dead, you know.
Well, at least once his throat cancer, he was 66. But, I mean, obviously Terry died young and had his demons as well. And Terry was, I mean, Hayes was good. Hayes obviously has a very strong wrestling mind. He knew how to get heat. He knew how to work the crowd. He was a fair wrestler, not particularly good. He was the worst worker of the three.
Yeah.
Gordy was the star. I mean, Gordy was a monster.
Yeah, big man monster, yeah.
He was, you know, as good a big man as probably there's ever been.
I don't know, I don't remember the quote particularly, but it was either 17 or 19. He was still a teenager.
I think he was young. I think he was 17 and Hayes was 19.
Well, it was 17 or 19 younger. When Bill Watts said that Terry Gordy was the best wrestler he had ever seen.
Yeah.
And I mean, and he was 19 years old at most, you know, so.
Everybody knew it. Everybody would look at him and say, that's the guy that's a future world champion. That's the guy who's the, you know, I mean, he moved like a big man. He had unbelievable charisma.
Well, I mean,
he had a different look and he looked dangerous.
Everybody said, just give him an axe, put a mask on him, and feed him with Taker. From day one.
Well, the thing was, when he finally did get to the WWE and do that,
mm-hmm.
he was in rough shape, physically and both in demons that got up to him.
And it was 1996.
Yeah.
I mean, and you figure...
And he wasn't that old, though. Like, even in 1996, I don't think he was that old there, but the road had owned him.
Exactly, that's
again,
the thing, right?
You know, so. You look at 5 years earlier, 4 or 5 years earlier, what he's doing in Japan. I mean, that's just ridiculous.
Well, that's
and of course you talk about the Miracle Violence connection, and we're turning this into a Gordy discussion.
Yeah, I was going to say.
But the Miracle Violence connection with him and Steve Williams, best tag team, I think, that never competed in the WWE.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, that is true. That's going to get. I mean, we can transition this right in. I mean, Buddy Roberts said we'll sort of transition there. Unfortunately, he said passed away, and then our thoughts and prayers with friends and family. I asked on Twitter for some questions. Some questions, and one of them was somebody asked who we thought the most underrated main eventer of all time was. And you talk about the Miracle Violence connection, never getting to that main stage of the WWE. And kind of transitions somewhat into that.
So ask this question?
Honestly, that is the one that I didn't write down the name, so I'll have to
look
it up.
Okay, so who's the most underrated main eventer of all time?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so we're not talking main eventer within one of the major companies. We're talking about somebody who's a main eventer in kind of...
Well, or could be. Just, I guess, a main event. Like I said, you use the Miracle Violence connection. I think that's a good... They did main event and tag team.
Yeah, the main event and tag teams
in Japan,
right?
But very
few I think they main evented as a tag team some in WCW when they came over, and there was the International Heavyweight Tournament or Tag Team Tournament, and they were supposed to... I mean, it was them. The feud was being built with them versus the Steiners to settle who was the best tag team in the world at the time, And you know, I mean, the tag team wrestling at that time in WCW, it was just amazing, really. It was a phenomenal, phenomenal era. So
tag team action hot and heavy in the WCW at the time.
That said, you know, I mean, so I don't know if, again, I don't know if we count them. Steve Williams, certainly, though, I mean, as great as Gordy was, I'd probably go Steve Williams as the guy. But again, would you consider it? I mean, he main evented again. He main evented Japan. He actually had some... The New Japan World title defeating Kenta Kobashi for it.
The IWGP?
IWGP, yes, right. And so, I mean, if you look at that, you can't count him. So does he count? Because if you look at, again, somebody who who never made it to WCW or WWE, and by the time he ever would have had his chance in WWE, WWF, things didn't work out. There was the Brawl for All and all that bullshit.
He was supposed
to come in and take on Austin.
But even then, I mean,
he had already started to slow down the injuries again.
A la Terry Gordy, same idea.
1998, was that?
Yeah, it was 98. When both Gordy and Williams got into WWF, it was way too late, yeah.
It was too late,
And especially working that All Japan style.
Yeah.
You know, that kills you. And so, you know, it was just one of those things that they just weren't the people that they were in the early 90s.
So, yeah, I mean, if you don't consider New Japan and what he did there, but if you do consider that the main eventer, I don't.
Well, just think who you think is sort of underrated.
Underrated. Yeah, I mean, I really think that guy, he's probably the underrated main eventer.
Yeah.
In the modern era, I look at AJ Styles, and I think he's tremendously underrated still.
Yeah.
And, you know, and main eventer, sure, sometimes he's main evented enough, I think, over in TNA.
Yeah.
And the fact that his entire career will be spent because he's loyal with a company like TNA, who hasn't always used him well, will probably hurt his legacy. Because as a performer, he's unreal.
Yeah, no, that's very true. I look at a guy that I always thought was underrated, personally, was an amazing
dog barking at, by the way.
I don't know, he's a retard. but I think the guy that I always looked at as an underrated main eventer was Nick Bockwinkel.
I never
thought that Nick Bockwinkel kind of got the due, I guess, is just due in terms of, I honestly thought Nick Bockwinkel was every much as on the level was Ric Flair.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And
I think he had a different style, but I think he was just as good a talker. He could wrestle. Yeah. I think he's a better wrestler.
I think he may be a better wrestler. Less flamboyant, obviously, but he was, like you said, a different style.
Yeah.
And I just think that Nick Bockwinkel was someone that...
Nick Bockwinkel, Bret Hart are kind of very much, to me, kind of the same style of performer. Was somebody who you could believe was real in what they were doing.
Yeah, and promo. It took it very seriously.
Yeah, and they, because they made it believe that was the gimmick, too, right?
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
Yeah.
That was my pick there, so.
Yeah, so I think that's a good one. I go Steve Williams, you go with Nick Bockwinkel, I think those are both good ones. You know, I'd love to hear some more.
Yeah. No, I just, you know, from me or just in general?
Just from other people.
From the listeners.
From those people who have a way of contacting us.
Yes. @WeTalkWrestling.com
or WeTalkWrestling on Twitter, right?
That's true. @WeTalkWrestling on Twitter. Lots of new followers, actually.
Oh, cool.
That we got. So that's very nice.
We're over,
dude. Yeah, we are over. So, well, a little sort of intertwined. I think some questions because I got a few, but I wanted to talk.
I did get one question too, so I guess I only have one question I brought this week. But let's see what you got here. Let's finish up.
I did want to make notes because someone, speaking of Twitter, tweeted me this, and I thanked them for. The person that I missed on the list, Paul Heyman's list of title reigns,
mm-hmm.
was Pedro Morales.
Oh, okay.
Had a long title reign in the 70s.
Yeah, yeah.
There, so I forget what number, maybe number 4, I think, on the list, or 5, just him and Hogan. But anyway, so I thought I would mention that. Jim Cornette.
Mm-hmm.
He's taking a sabbatical
because
he's fucking pissed off.
Not Jim Cornette.
I know.
He's such a mellow fella.
Yes. They actually call him Mellow Yellow.
They did. Yeah, sometimes he wore that jacket.
Yes.
Yeah, it's pretty obvious that the pressure of wrestling, he loves it. But he doesn't have the... this is a guy you just go, heart attack? You know, Like, he's just so wound up about everything. And I guess that's part of what makes him effective to some degree. But honestly, I mean, he doesn't know when to turn it off.
It's his best friend and his worst enemy is his passion.
Yeah, I mean, when he comes to an arena and, you know, and things aren't right and he dresses down the you know, in front of the fans, he dresses down the people who they've rented the arena from.
Yeah.
That doesn't do you any good. Like, it just... doesn't, but he just doesn't seem to know any better. He's a promo man. He's, you know.
Well, I guess the part that he's failing to realize in 2012 is that, like, Jim Cornette is of a dying breed.
He absolutely is.
And the, you know, transition over to WWE to Raw when you know, Cena beats Ziggler clean. Mm-hmm. And their new head writer, whose name escapes me, Eric Pandofsky or something, it was there was quoted as people saying that he had no idea
that that's not what you do.
What was wrong with
and
that?
Nobody, and nobody in the WWE creative outside of Vince McMahon or Hunter would really know. And hey, really would understand that this was a bad thing.
Or why it's a bad thing.
Or why it's a bad
thing. That's the point.
Yeah, and that's because, which says to me then that we'll then bring in some people who fucking do know why this is a bad thing. But more
like
than that.
Like Cornette.
Well, yeah, but no, the thing is, it's more than that. It's that these people don't realize that they're writing wrestling feuds to build towards pay-per-views. They think they're just filling television time.
Yes.
And that's why they don't get it. But, yeah, Jim Cornette obviously is not of that way, but the fact is, the guy is just, you know, it hasn't worked out anywhere now, and there's no place left for it to work out. I mean, he can go back to what OVW is now.
Yes.
Perhaps. Because he does, I think, still have some ownership or something to do with it.
I think he got All Out when...
I think there was something, but even then, that has a TNA...
Connection. At the end of the day, though, that's probably where he's best. Is in Ohio Valley where he can stay at home, he can live in Louisville, he can develop guys, stars, and take new guys and take green guys and make them better.
It's a real shame if the guy with his wrestling mind and knowledge and passion doesn't have some way to really contribute. But then again, he's not the only one. I mean, Bret Hart doesn't really do much to contribute right now either, right? Same type of thing.
No, Bret Hart doesn't do very much. You think about what, guys like Ted DiBiase could offer. Yeah, there's lots of, there's those, Paul Bearer, Percy Pringle, they think of what he could contribute. There's lots of guys that are there. And Jim Cornette, if he's there, though, just in Louisville, and instead he's developing guys. The problem with the Ring of Honor is that Ring of Honor is there. They need their guys to be developed in terms of characters and sort of personas. Mm-hmm. They can do all the flippy-doos, and they can do, the headlocks, and a lot of them can actually chain wrestle really well. Mm-hmm. I think like Adam Cole. But it's a situation that they're almost too big for their britches, where... The guys are beyond Ohio Valley, but not quite to the TNA, WWE television level.
True, yeah.
And outside of this Turkey Impact that we just watched. But, you sit there and you kind of wonder, is it too much for Cornette? Is this the role for Cornette? Think of like hockey coaches that can, it's really two kinds of hockey coaches, the guys that teach the young kids and the guys that can motivate the veterans, right? Yeah. And Cornette's more to teach the young kids, but Ring of Honor
Look what happens when he beats up the one young kid who couldn't
Santino.
Help. Yeah, Santino, exactly. He beats up the one young kid who, for laughing when the boogeyman came out. Like,
yes.
It's still, you just can't do that anymore. And he doesn't get that. I don't know. The guy needs to, he'll have a way to make a living through shoot interviews and these types of things for a while, but this is a point where he just needs to go, how much of this is on me? What can I do better about myself? How can I behave better? And I get the feeling he doesn't do that enough. And that's just, he gets screwed a lot. He got screwed by TNA and different things.
You know who he needs? What? Dr. Shelby.
No. No.
Jim Cornette is the manager of Daniel Bryan. Could you imagine?
It'd be incredible. That's the thing, but... If he could come in and do what Heyman has done, where it's like, I'm going to come in, here's what you've given me, okay, I'm going to use what you've given me and say it in my own way, and I don't give a shit, and I'm not emotionally invested, and I go home and I don't care, and just do that, and just contribute to the show and make the show better. If he could do that, that'd be great. He can't.
Well,
I don't think he can just come in, and he's burnt his bridges again. I mean, Heyman never... burnt his bridges as badly, right?
You talk about burning bridges. Right now, there's serious talk of the WWE Hall of Fame being headlined by Bruno Sammartino.
Yeah.
With Bruno Sammartino in attendance.
Yeah.
So, like, Bret Hart come back. You talk about Jim Cornette burning a bridge?
It's different.
I don't think so. If there's a... a role to be had, and there's money to be made. There's humiliation to be done. There's Vince McMahon's ultimate sense that he is one, and they have come crawling back to me for a job. That's what feeds his ego. That's why he lets these guys come back, is because, you know, oh, they're back on my show, ha, 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 pal. So, I mean, I could see.
Always said the person he can't have is the person he wants the most.
Yeah, and you know, I think that...
Outside of Randy Savage, that was always true.
That's true, and that's because that's what Stephanie would say. But the thing is, with Jim Cornette, when was Jim Cornette relevant?
Yeah.
You know, he was Yokozuna's 93, you know, he was Davey Boy and Owen for a bit there in 96. You know, he was around, and but not even in 97, he was doing those rants on WCW.
Yeah.
He was the commentator.
Yeah.
You know, with Jim Ross. And
again, so be the commentator. Like, if he could come in and work as a commentator and not get emotionally involved, do his job. I mean, be maybe a little more emotionally involved than fucking Lawler, who fucking every single week since he's been back, I've been noticing this just obvious statement where it's like, you don't watch anything.
I am glad, you talk about heart attacks. I am glad that Jerry Lawler is healthy.
And I am too.
But he needs to be the fuck off my TV so fast it's not even funny.
It's true. It's like, true. Like, I wish the guy a long and healthy life, but he does not care to do the littlest bit of research. He doesn't talk about going through the motions, and it's obvious.
Well, and the pay-per-view exposed him when JBL was running circles around him. I mean, the wash rag. You know, alone.
Yeah.
You know, was he owned, and it just, I don't know. Like, you know, Jerry Lawler, keep him around, but not as a commentator. You know,
no.
I don't know what I do, but just I don't need to see him as a commentator.
Yeah.
But did we talk about Hell in a Cell's buy rate?
No, we haven't yet. No, I think we actually we did talk about Hell in a Cell's buy rate. All we said was we didn't have the actual numbers at the time, but we just said that we knew it was up.
Yes, 200,000 total buys. 152,000 domestic buys.
Now,
so,
it had 6 weeks in between shows, which helped a little bit.
Right.
But a lot of that, and nothing overseas, that's not a surprise because the main event guy has had no exposure overseas.
Yeah.
Good domestic buy rate, and I always said, and we knew that coming in, we didn't know the numbers, but
yeah.
And I always said that's because people were curious as to whether or not they were actually going to go with somebody who's not ready. Like,
yeah.
It was that type of curious. It was the train wreck. Oh, how bad could this be? Or will it turn out okay? Or what are they going to do? Type thing. It wasn't so much the person and Ryback in it. I was contented it was more the situation, which is why, from what we're hearing, the numbers for Survivor Series not strong.
No, not as good. And I'm thinking the funny thing is, and it's something that WWE never pushed.
Mm-hmm.
Was, I mean, they've been pushing the title reign. So I mean they. The announcers, which suck, haven't been pushing it. But Punk himself, and Heyman, I mean, the title reign is a focal point now.
Yeah.
The length. And, I mean, the one thing Vince said when it was okay for Brad Maddox to do this is, we never said Ryback had an undefeated streak.
No,
we never promoted
did.
That.
And
but he had
that.
One. And he didn't need to. It was like the title streak versus the undefeated streak. Fresh matchup.
Mm-hmm.
In a cell, no interference, had to have a winner, right?
And
or
are they actually going to do this?
What are they going to do? Yeah, how
are they going to fuck up their plans with The Rock for this? Like,
yeah.
Like, it was that curiosity.
Yeah, and it were. I mean, it was a short term. The bigger thing to me.
And they drew a good domestic buy rate without Cena.
Is exactly. What a good domestic and even good worldwide for them without Cena, right? A good overall number without John Cena on the show for the first time. In the Cena era, really.
There was one show he missed, because remember he said something.
I know,
about,
but the buy rate wasn't good.
Yeah, that's true, yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, that's true. I mean, you're right. I mean, the last time, there were a few shows where he's
good,
not being on.
Good being a relative term.
Yeah, but no, I mean, that's the thing. It was the time that when he tore his pec, right? And they had to have a new champion, so the first pay-per-view without him, the numbers were up quite a bit.
Yeah.
But that's because people knew they had to put a belt on somebody new, and they didn't know who it was going
to
be.
Yeah, and they wanted it to be Jericho.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to give you that, pal.
Yeah.
And I mean, you think TLC last year was without Cena for no reason. He just got to sit out, basically.
Yeah, that's where he the tweet saying, I'm looking forward to watching it. And somebody said, yeah, I know you'll be there. And he goes, I don't know why you think that. I'm not going to be there.
Yeah.
I mean, advertised. But at this point, even when he wasn't advertised in a match, he was showing up at shows all the time.
So. Yeah. And he was down. And, I mean, and then that TLC last year was down. So, I mean, that, but that to me is I don't know if it's encouraging. It's just, you know, it's interesting.
It is interesting, but it's interesting that they luck into something because if Cena doesn't get the injury, he main events that.
That's right.
And the pay per view doesn't do as high. But the other thing is, it hasn't. I don't know if it's necessarily helped Ryback.
Well, there's a lesson.
And certainly, by the time that he loses a TLC three pay per views in a row, I don't know if it necessarily helps him.
That's going to be the interesting part. Did you hear what they're going to be building? What the plan currently is for Ryback going forward? After this,
the Shield is
there, but in terms of WrestleMania,
no, Big Show.
Big Show, with the idea of him marching around with the Big Show on his back, will be his WrestleMania moment. Hmm. So
whatever.
Yes, but that's the idea right now is Ryback and Big Show.
Yeah,
Punk and Taker. Cena and Rock, and I think Sheamus and Orton at this point.
Lesnar and Triple H.
And Lesnar and Triple H, yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Impact Wrestling, I guess. Turning Point did 11,000 buys. So that's a little bit above average from what they've been doing.
How sad is that?
I know. What a tremendous buy rate for Turning Point.
Yeah, no shit, huh?
But I think the ladder match probably drew some people in.
Yeah, I'm sure.
You know.
What else you got there? You got anything else?
Yeah, so I've got just that one. Velvet Scott has signed a contract, going to be coming back to TNA.
Okay. Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
We're recording now?
We are.
Okay. Yeah, shit. I didn't think I was picking up news to actually put on the podcast. That's why I was asking.
Oh, I see. What are your thoughts about Velvet Scar?
I fuck her.
Totally. For a shizzle.
Yeah, you know, for her sake.
For her sake, yes.
Yeah, yeah. Other than that. No, it's good. It's good because I don't mind having her back because the thing about her is
I don't mind having her front.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't mind having her back, I don't mind having her front.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that may happen.
Could happen.
So, if not, there's always Kelly out there.
That's true.
Yeah.
So
what else you got?
You know, I should have mentioned it so we could have just kept the downer notes kind of together, and so I apologize, but we'll kind of spread them out, I guess, just to joy. This past Tuesday... would have been the 27th of November.
Uh-huh.
Would have been the 50th birthday of the British Bulldog, Davey Boy Smith. It wasn't.
Really? What happened?
Steroids. yes.
Check, and I thought I hit my mute button, but... Luckily, I'm still here.
Holy shit. We're a professional podcast.
Not really.
Did you hear what happened to Maven?
Nobody gave a fuck.
It's true. It's true.
That's what happened to him.
Yes. He put a bunch of shit in storage.
Oh, yeah.
And then he didn't pay the bill.
Mm.
So you know that show they have storage wars where people bid on shit?
Yeah.
So they had, like, one of those. I don't think it was on TV, but they had, like, a bidding session for this thing. And somebody won it.
What'd they win?
Well, what they found in there was his Tough Enough trophy that he won for winning Tough Enough.
Really? He doesn't keep that on his shelf at all?
He does not.
Doesn't display it proudly.
So they tried. So the guy felt bad when he found out who the guy that won it. He felt bad. And so he tried to get a hold of Maven. Called him, I guess. Maven didn't return his call.
I have your Tough Enough trophy. Do you want it back, free of charge?
So the guy sold it and got $600 on eBay.
Which I'm sure Maven could have used.
Yes. True story.
Fucking idiot.
Yes.
Holy shit. Remember when, who do you think has less money right now, Maven or Raven? That's probably a damn good question.
Oh, it's got to be Maven. I mean, at least,
sure?
Well, I mean,
Raven has to borrow money to be able to buy a $1 pop.
But, well, he doesn't have to. That's the gimmick.
Oh, that's right. That's the gimmick. He doesn't want to pay for anything.
He doesn't want to pay
just borrow for me. Can I just, I'll pay you back later.
I'm Raven. But no, I mean, Raven at least worked indies and stuff. I mean, Maven's got to be fucking broken shit.
Well, he was in WWE sponsored rehab at one point, was he?
Yeah, I believe he was.
Yeah, and Raven, it said, was suing them.
Yes, that's right.
I wonder if actually he wanted to go to rehab if they would still pay.
I think they would. I think they would.
I think they'd have to.
I don't think it's, yeah, I think they would have to.
Fantastic.
Well, who was it? It was him, Canyon, and who was the third one? Mike Sanders.
Mike Sanders,
that's
yeah.
That's right, yeah.
I was going to say Jamie Noble, but Mike Sanders, same guy.
No, I think Jamie Noble still works for them. Well, I think he's an agent still. I thought I saw him backstage on Raw with, like, talking to, like, Dean Malenko or Arn Anderson or something.
Are you sure it wasn't Hornswoggle? Mm-hmm.
That's who it was. That's who it was. Greg Kali's best friend.
Oh, fuck.
Fuck. Ended that on 3 hours of television.
What else you got?
I was watching an old clip of an old Raw from, like, 97. And it was an exhibition between Ken Shamrock and Vernon Tiger White on Raw. They did an MMA match on Raw in the ring.
What is the name? Vernon White, Tiger White. I know that name.
I think he was an MMA guy.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, he was on that. Yeah, I know. He was the show that Goldberg did color commentator for, that did, like, one pay-per-view.
Yes.
Yeah, he fought on that.
Okay. There you go. Well, that was anyway, it happened on Raw. But the highlight to me was that Vince McMahon was plugging the UFC, the upcoming UFC pay-per-view.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Such stars as Victor Belfort was going to be on... Victor Belfort was to be on this UFC
pay-per-view. Funny how he never became as big a star as Victor Belfort.
Or Vitor Belfort.
Yeah, either.
Yes. So I just thought that was funny that he called him Victor Belfort.
Yeah, he probably did it on purpose.
Probably. Pal. Speaking of pals, JBL.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently he's got a new backstage talk show that's going to debut on SmackDown.
Oh, I was hoping for the internet. I was hoping it would replace, like, Are You Serious or something like that.
What could replace Are You Serious?
Anything.
Well, the thing is with the internet, it just all goes on YouTube and you just watch what you want to watch anyway, right?
But, yeah.
But yeah, dude, so I guess that's going to
be... You know what people don't want to watch anymore?
JBL?
Zack Ryder.
Oh, woo, woo, woo. You know it. Him and Damian Sandow, I believe, got a 2.2 this past week.
Rating-wise, on Monday, that was the lowest-rated segment on the show. One of the lowest-rated segments in a long time, and what a surprise. Damian Sandow, who people are still getting to know, and a guy they've totally killed and nobody wants to see on air. Which actually brings me to my email question I got from CN Pink. And CN Pink...
CN Pink, eh?
That's what the name says on the email.
Pink your dinkin', CN it in the pink.
I wasn't going to go there, because that's crude.
Yes, and unusual.
Yeah, so I wouldn't. But no. CN Pink asked me, with the ratings this last week for Raw being a 2.7, I think that's right.
I think it is. Yeah, I think rounded up. 2.6, I want to say.
Yeah, exactly. 2.7. Anyways, he said, with the ratings, and I'm paraphrasing this, I didn't bring it. But with it being a 2.7 this week, why is it everybody always talks about how it was against no competition? Everybody always talks about the football competition and the debates and everything like that.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't Nitro in its day much worse competition? It was actual wrestling. Wouldn't it have taken away more people? And back then they were doing fives. So, does he have a point or is this?
Well, see, that was, the thing was, is that this obviously CN Pink.
My new favorite.
I don't know, obviously, Mr. or Mrs. Pink, but...
It could be.
The whole thing is that...
All we know is that CN Pink apparently liked to eat cat.
My whole thing is, with all due respect, I would think that this particular emailer is younger and didn't, I guess, live through 95, maybe the same way you and I did, 1995.
What do you mean?
In that... That was the thought. Nitro's coming on, or Nitro's coming on, Monday Night Raw, Monday Night Roho, Tro, right? Oh, they're doing the name thing. It's like it's a carbon copy. Bischoff's an idiot. What a moron. I can't believe they're doing this and putting it on the same night that's going to split the audience. And instead, because that was the thought, but what happened was is it grew the audience because people were, because they were competing.
Yeah.
And that's the whole thing, is that Raw
I think
competing with Monday Night Football or the debates or any of that.
Yeah, that's true.
And the debates aren't competing with Raw. Right? That's
yeah.
the flip side of it, is that you can have a one-way fight where they try to put on, like, you think of a few years ago, Are You Ready for Some Wrestling, where they did the Shelton Benjamin, Trish Stratus, Vince McMahon spoof on the Nicole Sheridan Monday Night Football, right? They were spoofing that and doing that with the Monday Night Football thing, but Monday Night Football wasn't, you know, putting someone who looked like Trish Stratus on or Vince McMahon, right, to come back.
You're right, you're
so
right.
That's the difference right now, is that they don't have any, they need a direct competitor.
I That's true. I think though the email, what he's trying to say is more along the lines of you always hear the excuses for the ratings.
Right.
And it's, are the excuses bullshit? And I think that's kind of more what he's getting at, is are the excuses bullshit?
Well, and they're
because
very...
they were able to succeed against another wrestling show.
Well, in the essence, the excuses are just that. I mean, all excuses are bullshit, right, basically. I mean, if you have an excuse, it's by definition bullshit. It is what it is. It's a whiny reason that you didn't achieve what you didn't achieve. In the reality is their show sucks,
yeah.
and their product isn't good. And now they're at 3 hours, and they don't have that breakout star or those undercard things ready to bubble and happen. And that's why when there's a really good football game, someone's going to go to a football game more than Raw. If Raw was great, people would stick with Raw. That happened when Raw and Nitro were out drawing Monday Night Football in the heyday because wrestling was worth seeing.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, 3 hours of Raw is not worth seeing.
No. At this Raw, just there was a lot of good wrestling on this show. That, you know, Daniel Bryan and Rey Mysterio, well, I didn't think that they... I thought it took them a little while before they started to gel.
Yeah.
And they should have been given longer. I mean,
45 minutes.
Yeah, just to get warmed up.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it was good still. What was it? There was another good match on there.
Antonio Cesaro and Sheamus.
Sheamus, that was good. And there was another one I was thinking of, too.
Even the Cena Ziggler.
That was the one. Yeah, that was a good match. There's a lot of good wrestling on this show.
Mm-hmm.
And yet it felt like a show that was really, really long. Like, I just was wasting my time with it. Like, so much is happening, but it doesn't mean anything. And you end up with a show that did, I mean, I guess the ratings were, I believe it was a high 2.8 for the first hour.
Yeah.
And then it dropped into a mid-range 2.6 and a low 2.5. And so it ended up with that 2.66 and a 2.7 overall.
I thought that's.
For the over the 3 hours.
CM Punk segmented a 2.3.
Yeah. Brutal.
Yeah. Well, I mean, CM Punk has never been a ratings draw.
Draw, but he hasn't also been a turn-off-the-TV guy.
Yeah, he has. His segments where they normally see growth just didn't see growth, even when he was pipe-bombing. He has never, ever, really, ever, since, I mean, because he wasn't put in a position to even, but, I mean, he's never been a ratings draw.
That's not true. When he was up there talking about ice cream bars with Vince McMahon, it grew like crazy. Like, that's bullshit.
No, but then, okay, I'll give you that. When he came back, let's say, they had the lightning in the bottle, that's part of the thing. When he came back, Pedigree 1-2-3, or Kevin Nash, or Alberto Del Rio, or any of that stuff, they said he's never, you see his segments where they normally look for growth, he's never, they haven't grown. And his title reign hasn't grown.
No, but they don't, they generally shave up steady, not like this, which is a lot of people turning off the TV. Not just a few. A lot of people turning off the TV.
A lot.
So, I mean, does it mean anything yet? No. But, I mean, I said when this whole thing with Lawler happened, we'll see through the ratings patterns if it hurts his ability as a draw if he has the wrong type of heat now. I think it's too early to say that still. But
I don't think it's going to matter because you're going to look about, 5-6 weeks from now?
Yeah, we're not looking at long before he drops the title to The Rock.
Well, even
as soon as The Rock comes in and does a promo with him, they'll just grow.
those albums do well, right? So.
Yeah, but again, that's going to be attributed to The Rock and not CM Punk.
Oh, yeah, and it should be. It is attributed to The Rock.
Oh, of course.
Nevertheless, those hours were gross, so who cares? And the point is, for my 2 points, I think we looked it up a while ago, and I think ECW, when it debuted on Sci-Fi, what were the ratings for that? Do you recall? It was somewhere around 3, wasn't it?
The first one was 3.05, and then it went to like 3.79, or 2.79 rather, and then it hovered at about the 2.4 level for the first few months, in that 2.2, 2.4 range for the first couple of months.
Yeah, and then we get the occasional 2.5, 2.4, 2.2 in that range. So the point is, though, that essentially, if you really look at it, ECW on Sci-Fi, when it debuted there, and I think Raw was probably doing close to 4s at the time, nevertheless, ECW on Sci-Fi was doing close to what, really about equivalent ratings to what Raw is doing now, especially when you consider Sci-Fi is on significantly less homes than the USA Network, where Raw is. So, really, this is how much they have. First off, it's a shame, as you look back on it, that Vince McMahon couldn't put his ego aside and say, let's give the fans what they want, that ECW product, and go hands off.
Well, I think that's a different story, but yeah.
That's a different story. Yeah. But it does show that it's a shame. But it also shows how much they eroded that product so quickly and how much they've eroded their own.
It's a shameful thing.
Thunderhead.
Yeah. But, I mean, you look, yeah, and Raw got a 4 the same week that ECW debuted at that 3. So,
yeah.
I mean, and now Raw is not even getting a 3, right? And you look at...
And if Raw goes back to 2 hours, it's not getting above a 2.8.
Well, that's the other thing. I mean, you not right away.
No.
I mean, again, with WrestleMania...
With The Rock coming back actually right away, sure. Without The Rock, no. It'd be about a 2.75, 2.8, 2.85 right now.
I don't even know. Again... You talk about a lack of football, maybe giving them a, you know, when they used to get that bump, and the fact, here's the thing, we talked about it in August, is that how bad was the product that when people start watching football, that they just don't come back.
Yeah.
That now, the product was bad. The only thing that's going to save them potentially is The Rock. And if those people want to be entertained by The Rock, then they'll come in. But Rock's going to be there sparingly. He's got a hell of a busy winter.
It's a Band-Aid. Yeah, he signed himself up for a lot of shit here.
Yeah.
And that's the other thing, though, is we're talking about a company that has 3 hours on Monday, an hour on Wednesday, 2 hours on Friday, an hour on Saturday mornings.
Mm-hmm. Half hour on Saturday mornings.
Half hour Saturday mornings. As well as...
Oh, yeah, Monday, Wednesday,
NXT.
Yeah, up here we got NXT and Vintage, yeah.
Yeah, Vintage, and is Superstars still on the internet?
It was on the internet, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So it's still out there. So
bring on the network.
I'm going to ask you, how many hours a week is ideal for WWE TV?
Three?
And what are those three? 90-minute shows?
I would even go as far as saying 2 hours of Raw. Actually, you know what, I'll say 3.5. 2 hours of Raw, I would say maybe another hour somewhere, like a main event type show.
Mm-hmm.
And then I don't mind that half hour Saturday morning.
Half hour Saturday morning
slam
is
a different deal. You know, you put one match on it or something and do those little loopity things that they got on the internet, and that's fine. But I mean, ideally, in a perfect scenario, ideally, you have 2 hours on Monday and 2 hours on Friday, and you keep everything all separate, and you try to run two different companies.
I don't even think you need to do that, but I do think that...
Well, you don't need to.
Again, what are you looking at? We're looking at ION, and it's not... The main event on ION isn't looking at getting canceled, as far as I know, anytime soon.
No.
But the ratings for that aren't strong. The ratings for that are about equivalent to what...
Station average, yeah.
Yeah, station average, and about what Superstars was doing when it was canceled.
And ECW, yeah. NXT,
it's not strong. I mean, they're... And there's nothing they can do to increase that. You know, they've come out trying this time, and there's nothing they can do. And apparently, I mean, I haven't really seen it because we don't get it here, and it's, you know, but I've just seen clips from it.
Yeah, I've seen clips.
Apparently, it's a good show, but it doesn't matter.
Well, that's the thing, is that it doesn't matter. All it is are, it's basically two wrestling matches.
Yeah.
And then, like, the Raw rebound.
Yeah.
And that's all it is. And that, so it basically is superstars with, again, I mean, John
higher
Cena.
Quality matches.
John Cena fought Damian Sandow
yeah.
on it and stuff. I mean, and that'll probably
it's
bump
not,
a little
it's
bit
not,
more.
You know, JTG against Brodus Clay as the main event.
Yeah.
Like,
or
it is
Tyson.
A higher, they're doing more, right?
Exactly. You know, it doesn't have your Tyson Kidd, Trent Barretta, those sorts of guys on it. It's got some, you know, Miz against Ziggler and things. They seem to have one main match and then another match. You know, that features a guy, but it, yeah, I mean, but it's too much. I mean, does it need to happen? No. I mean, you could take those
so
matches.
We're talking 3-4 hours a week, and they're double that. Well, of course, it's going to make, I mean, I don't know how you fix this. I really don't. I don't know how you get the ratings up if you're giving us twice as much product as you need to. There's never a sense, like I say, it's just.
Well, you talked about a Band-Aid being the Rock.
Yeah.
And I think that this main event television show on ION and things, I think it is. It's a Band-Aid.
Yeah.
It's a Band-Aid in the form of a cash grab.
Sure.
Is it, yes, ION has agreed to have this WWF programming. They're going to do what they're going to do. They're going to, ratings are going to continue to go. It's going to get canceled. They won't have that revenue anymore, but they're just going to hot shot and get that revenue.
Well, eventually they'll go back to 2 hours, but at that point in time, the damage will be done. They won't be able to get past the 2.8 or 2.7 or whatever.
Well, that's on Raw. I just mean it's
Ion
Raw,
show. I'm just saying. So eventually lose that hour. Like right now, they're getting. I guess it's a little more than $6 million a year that they're earning, I believe, from the extra hour. Which is, I understand why they would do that.
$6 million a year.
Yeah.
Well,
they get about $150,000 for the hour. That's about $6 million a year.
It's about 100. I heard 108. It's not proportional to what they got for the 2 hours. It's a lot less.
Yeah, it's about. Yeah, I heard. I heard about 150, but whatever.
Okay, but yeah, okay, so $6 million for the whole year, okay, yeah, yeah.
$5 million, whatever. That pays for all. That's $5 million a year. I mean, it doesn't sound like much when you talk about. You take that out of the problem.
No, but in 10 years, that will pay for Linda's Senate run. The first one.
Yeah, 20 years, the whole thing.
20, you see. Perfect. WrestleMania 49.
It doesn't matter. After that point, she'll have been senator for 20-odd years. So
well, yeah, she'll be entering her 17th term.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Exactly. No, but, I mean, that does pay for it. I mean, if you look at the salaries for the guys, you look at the Brodus Clays and these guys, are, like a Brodus Clay probably earns about, in a year, what they earn for an hour, you know.
Yeah, that's probably right.
Yeah, Heath Slater, these guys, you know, Tyson Kidd, about what they earn in an hour. So I understand why they'd add it.
Yeah.
I do get it. Because they're there anyways.
Well, there's not a lot of extra cost to it, no.
No, they're there anyways. So I get it. But what point in time does the WWE, when the ratings go down on USA, and USA starts going, okay, we have trouble selling this advertising because it's wrestling, and now we're starting to do well below our station average.
Mm-hmm.
At what point in time do you get canceled from ION? And all of a sudden, and we know this network thing's not a good idea and not going to happen and not going to be good or whatever.
Right.
At what point in time does it become to the point where, okay, we can't sell a product and get on TV anymore? When do they reach that point where they're going to, you know?
See, the thing is I don't know.
Raw probably has a long time to reach that point because people still think Raw. Like, it still has that memory
of
drawing the sixes.
You look at, I mean, Superstars got canceled, NXT got canceled, I mean... It's a situation, I think, where... But then they get the main event show.
Yeah,
and
I couldn't believe ION did this, honestly. I was like, why?
But there's always going to be...
But the difference was, I think they went to ION and said, no, we're committed this time. We're going to give you the main event guys.
And
if it still fails, it's different.
I think... I don't think that even matters, to be honest. Like, I think
No,
because I think you're giving television program directors... too much credit in terms of their wrestling knowledge. This got canceled. All they'd say is, yeah, well, this happened and this happened. We're not going to do that. We're going to put this show. We want to put this show. There's going to be another, you know, let's say, what's it called? PAX, right? PAX network. They'll do it. They'll take a chance. Someone like that. There'll be another network even after the main event. Not right away. After the main event is canceled, there'll be another network in another year that'll take an hour of WWF programming.
Maybe, but I'll say this to you. WCW went under, it was doing about a 2.4.
Mm-hmm.
So about a 0.3 higher than what Raw did this week, right? But it went under.
Yeah.
And
that was, again, though, that was Jamie Kelmer rebranding.
Okay, that was Jamie Kelmer. When it went off and they shopped it around to every network,
yeah.
And I'm talking WWE shopped it around after they purchased it, they couldn't put it on the air anywhere because the stink of WCW was so bad and their television product.
No, no. They couldn't get it anywhere because of things like the Parents Television Council and the backlash of, yes,
no.
Professional wrestling was not something that was
no.
perceived
WCW,
as advertising.
Their
no,
idea.
Nobody gave a fuck about WCW.
That's
well, that's okay, so Paul Heyman shopping around, and he can't do it because of the stink of WCW. He can't get ECW. He's shopping ECW around because they've been kicked off TNN in favor of the WWF,
yeah.
And he can't get ECW on any other network because the stink of WCW's product
was too
bad.
He can't get on any other network because it's ECW.
No.
Because ECW isn't that big because
looks,
it was a bunch of
you're looking at it
the
like a wrestling
is,
fan.
No, you're looking,
your
no,
average
looking pro, at it.
Yeah, your program
looking,
director is not going to be
just
looking
don't
at
remember your history here, Addy. You just don't remember your history here. The fact is, WWE had every intention to restart Nitro.
Oh, yeah.
When they went to restart Nitro, they couldn't find a station to take it, and they were planning to run it as a separate product. They couldn't find a station to take it because the WCW brand name had been, and the Nitro brand name had been damaged so much toward the end.
No.
And that's doing a 2-3.
Nobody else wanted wrestling. Nobody wanted wrestling. No networks wanted professional wrestling. It didn't matter if it was ECW, WCW, fucking All Japan Pro Wrestling, WWF. I mean, TNN gave them the Velocity fucking Confidential block that was earmarked for that's where they were going to put whatever it was, WCW Saturday Night. That was the slot, and TNN had agreed to that,
mm-hmm.
and Vince took the invasion a totally different way, and had already fucked it up by the time that launched. They'd already gone that way. But in terms of shopping it around, Bischoff tried to shop wrestling around to different networks, to FX, to all these places.
Tried
nobody
to shop
wanted
WCW around.
Shop WCW around.
Yeah.
WWF got cock-blocked, and the only place by USA Network, because they were playing TNN and USA Network, by TNN,
yeah,
they were
true,
playing
they were.
The two against each other, and TNN finally went, we wash our hands of you. Go to USA, we're ending negotiations with you. And those were the only two networks.
That was years later.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah, it was.
It was
you're talking,
years later.
Yeah, well, that's a long time.
Well, it is, but nobody wanted wrestling. Nobody wanted wrestling then.
Nobody wanted wrestling. Nobody wanted, the WCW brand name was garbage by then. They could not sell that brand name in any way, shape, or form. Now, my point is that if their ratings go down to at some point in time, you say that they're always going to be able to go, oh, a year later we'll put it on someplace else and somebody will pay us. I don't think so, not unless you get hot. Because you have to keep in mind, like I say, if they cannot sell revenue ads for the same for wrestling. If a wrestling is drawing a 3.0 and another television show is drawing a 3.0, the wrestling revenue, ad revenue, is lower.
Yes.
And that also hurts them. I'm just seeing that this is a company that, I'm not saying we're about to see the end of WWE anytime soon or the end of national wrestling.
No.
But it's not coming soon, but I'm not 100% convinced it's not going to happen.
How much of that is their own network then? Right?
What about it?
I mean, how much of that is them then starting their own network so they've always got a place for it?
That's not why they're doing it.
Well, no, it's part of why they're doing it. Part of why they're doing it is that they can stick programs on their own network that they can't find a home for. And you're right. I mean, eventually, the thing is when you're talking about 2.4 Nitro, let's say. I mean, if we looked at the numbers, I don't remember quite frankly what they are, but that 2.4 represented how many million people?
More than what a 2.4 represents now.
That's, people than what a 2.4. So, was it more? Yeah, it was more than what I thought the rating, more people represented a 2.4. So, in terms of how many people, again, when you're talking about its percentage of people watching television at the time on the channel, and with more choices.
Right, Google up ratings.
Well,
rating for the last Nitro.
The thing is, and that's always true. But the thing is if they always give the ratings, they don't give the number of homes, though, and that takes too long to find. But the thing is,
But it was more.
But I just look at what, when you're talking about station averages, I think you're going to see station averages going down as well. But you're right. I mean, in terms of if you fall below a station average and you're wrestling so you can't earn as much revenue as, say, you know, reruns of the Big Bang Theory or How I Met Your Mother, you know, things like that, mm-hmm. that is what these networks are sticking on, the UPNs and all those PAX networks and stuff mm-hmm. they're putting on in their place. Then yeah, you're going to have a very hard time finding that.
Right now, I feel very, very, I just don't see a bright future for wrestling right now.
That's, oh God, no.
That kind of sucks because I love it. I love wrestling, right?
That's what the sun will come out tomorrow.
But that's all I'm getting at here is I think that they are. Again, it's a slow erosion, but
it is.
When your pay-per-view revenue is down and your house show revenue is stagnant, really, yeah. and you're losing revenue streams such as DVD sales and Blu-ray because those things aren't as important, the WWE's, the most important revenue stream for them is television. And if they mm-hmm. fuck that up the way they're starting to, the way it's going, and it's slow, it's like every little thing they do is just, it's gonna bite them in the ass someday, and just like it's a lot of little hits, right? Of things they're doing that make me go, you fucking idiot.
We started talking about this since we started this show.
Yeah,
and I mean, and I remember talking about it before the pipe bomb.
Yeah,
and we looked.
I think we said at that time that by next summer they'll be doing 2.7s.
Yeah,
2.6s.
That's right.
And they were doing like 3.3s at the time.
And they were, yeah, exactly. That we figured a 10% or 20% drop, and with the football, we were saying when football comes in, what are they going to be doing? When football takes that bump, and do you recover? Because every time football, they come back just less and less. Like, that's that slow erosion, is that they take the football hit, and then less, you know, they take a .3 hit and get a .2 back,
said,
right?
The third hour didn't create this, but it just sped it up a little bit.
Exactly. I mean, all those 3 hours. I mean, the fact
little things like again, really at the end of the day, we talk about all the things they used to do better.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what we talked about last week about all the things that we handled with this huge list. And it was like, I was talking to you today about how people used to think back in the Attitude Era, people's popularity was 40% based on their entrances
mm-hmm.
and how all the entrances are generic. But the thing is,
and then we watched Impact tonight, and they did a lot better job than WWE of establishing entrances.
Yeah, that's right. But the thing is, when I look at the WWE now, the one thing we didn't mention that they used to do better was have the titles and the matches mean something, as a general rule, really. I don't think that the Intercontinental title meant a lot more then than it does now.
I don't know about that so much as that the fact that, I think the only reason that it meant more is because bigger stars were vying for it. I mean, you think of Eddie Guerrero as the European champion,
exactly.
You know, and things like that. But I think that's all it is that bigger stars were vying for it.
Bigger stars are a hotter product. I don't think that they did a better job making the matches mean that much.
In many ways, a worse job when you talk about Vince Russo and the hotshot booking, right?
Exactly. And so, I mean, again, though, when I look at why it doesn't work for me, and I look at this 3 hours, I think it's that I watched this 3 hours Monday, and I went, it's not bad. But if I didn't watch this for a month and I came back, I'd know exactly everything that's happened, and nothing would have happened, it would have been important, and it wouldn't have felt like I missed anything.
No.
Because it's just the sense of things matter. And it's little things. It doesn't seem like much to have Dolph Ziggler get beat by John Cena clean, but it is a little thing about understanding how to build and make something matter down the road.
Because the first thing I thought there was that Ziggler was going to win at the pay-per-view.
Yeah, I still think John Cena gets the Money in the Bank at the ladder in a ladder match.
Well, see, now it's got to be a ladder match because the Ryback and CM Punk is a tables, ladders, and chairs match.
I guess
the idea is there is that you give, you know, the green Ryback as many, you know, gimmicks as he can
to, you know what I mean?
Right. And you've still got the table that the Shield can put him through, right?
But
then what do you do? What did you think of the Shield?
I kind of liked their promo because
I like the ambiguity of what they were saying.
Mm-hmm.
That here, we're here, it's not about Punk and it's not about Ryback. We're here to right any wrongs.
Mm-hmm.
And that these are bad guys who think that they're in the right.
Yeah.
Psychologically, I actually liked it, and I thought their delivery and everything, I thought it worked.
And then they beat on Kane.
They beat on Kane.
Right.
And they beat on, I think it was on Ion. They beat on Jinder Mahal and Heath Slater the week before or something.
No,
like
no,
that.
It was Santino and Tyson Kidd.
Oh, okay, Santino and Tyson Kidd, okay. All right, so they are just attacking baby faces. But yeah, I mean,
yeah.
It's... You know, they're saying we're not the Nexus. We're not, you know...
You want the NWO, go buy the DVD.
Yeah, yeah, good line.
Yeah. Well, so, and what I liked about their initial promo, even though... And I mean, it was backstage,
mm-hmm.
so, it, you know, you still got a live crowd situation that they can interact with that they haven't done. Yeah, well, pre-tape, but I mean, they did backstage, it's fine. But it was exactly what we talked about last week.
Mm-hmm.
You've got Roman Reigns, the muscle...
Mm-hmm.
You know, Seth Rollins said a few things, but it looks like they're going to let him be the word. And Dean Ambrose was
yeah.
the mouthpiece, basically, yeah. of the group. And I think that's perfect.
Yeah. No, I didn't mind the Shield. I thought that was pretty good. But yeah.
What I don't know is why they've channeled the Big Boss Man for their wardrobe.
Fucking idiots. That's why.
Yeah.
Fucking idiots.
It was, yeah, that was quite...
hopefully that's temporary.
Well, hopefully, yeah, hopefully. Yeah. It, but
hopefully
that was,
temporary, just so we find out who they're really working for, so to speak, right?
And who do you think they are really working for?
I have no idea. I think it's too obvious to be Heyman and Punk, so I don't think they'll let it be Heyman and Punk, but it still should be. It doesn't matter if it's obvious, if it's what's right and will draw the most heat, but they always think... They always think we got to surprise you instead of draw the most heat or do what's going to draw the most heat.
So
they tend to swerve when they don't need to, thinking.
Should you be swerving then and not going with the obvious Heyman and Punk? Is there anybody
you should
that
go with the obvious.
That's what you would do is go with the obvious.
Absolutely.
There's no other
who's obvious. Better? Who's going to draw the more heat or make them bigger star than Heyman and Punk?
Well, no, that's...
The only thing that, like I say, the only thing that this Punk thing goes on with Heyman and I'm a Paul Heyman guy, the only thing that is the... I mean, where does eventually Brock Lesnar play into all this? And how long before we see him?
Yeah, that's right.
Right? So we see Brock Lesnar at some point in time on TV around, before, or after, or at Royal Rumble. That's really kind of one thing that we had to keep in mind.
Yeah. No, that is right. And then that is something that, will be interesting.
I just see Heyman turning on either... Punk or Lesnar to be with the other guy at some point.
Yeah. I would say Lesnar to go with Punk to turn Lesnar babyface.
So yeah,
right?
I would think so.
And then you do Lesnar Punk?
Yeah, I would think so. I would think that it feels like something that they will do. It seems like a direction they're going.
Yeah.
So because I mean this Heyman only came in just to be a mouthpiece for nobody ever saw this when he was hired, saw it going the direction it's gone.
That's right, yeah.
You know.
The only one guy that I could see as a manager for the Shield, not as good, not going to get them as much heat as Paul Heyman, is Ric Flair.
I don't think that works.
That's just sort of the...
As a mouthpiece, I understand, as a star power and this and that. Unfortunately, he can't... If he comes in...
He can't get booed.
Fucking, yeah, exactly. He's going to be... No.
That's the thing. You can't get booed. It's just it's that star power thing of having them on there. And
I don't have a sense that he's coming anytime soon. I don't
know
why or when. I don't have that sense.
The injunction is done.
Yeah, I still don't have that sense.
So there is nothing legally barring WWE from going out and hiring formerly contracted TNA talent.
You know who I think could be a surprising guy who could be it? Who I would say would be my second choice ahead of Flair.
Mr. Fuji?
Mick Foley.
Yeah.
Right. I would think Mick Foley is their mouthpiece and the guy who secretly brought them in. And Heyman and Punk didn't even know about it. And turning heel with them. I think that could work. I think he could go that direction. But other than that, I don't really see much for it.
Yeah.
Speaking of Impact, we watched that tonight.
We did.
And I don't know if it's just a Raw hangover, WWE hangover, and that we say this was 3 hours and it's not bad, and yet I'm not excited.
Mm-hmm.
But I watched, I had the exact same feeling watching Impact. Like, it's another 2 hours,
mm-hmm.
and I don't know if it's another 2 hours tacked onto WWE or if it's just another 2 hours.
I'll tell you why it is. And that's because they've gone back, when we talked about their height in the summer, it was, and we wrote blogs, we talked about it on the show, and we talked about what they were doing that WWE wasn't doing, why they were good that WWE wasn't. Now they're back to being WWE light.
It feels a lot like
you've got
right.
this Bully Ray, Brooke Hogan, which is the AJ, John Cena, Claire Lynch
yeah.
fucking bullshit. So they're
and,
doing the same thing.
You know what?
The show had the same feel again.
It does have the same feel again, of that sports entertainment thing.
Yeah.
And anytime you, wrestling is supposed to be a male soap opera, and anytime you start to make it a female soap opera, like the AJ John Cena stuff, it doesn't work for me, and it doesn't work for the majority of the audience. If it's a good male soap opera, both genders will watch it. If it's bad female soap opera, which is bound to be because it's pro wrestling, so it can't be good female soap opera,
yeah.
it's going to turn off both sides, or you might add a few people, not many, you're going to turn off more. Certainly, anytime it gets skewed too far into that, I hate it. And I hate it with AJ, and I hate this Brooke Hogan Bully Ray shit.
Yeah.
This was bad, and you know.
The only good thing that
Claire Lynch had fucking Christopher Daniels being great.
Well, but the Brooke Hogan has Austin Aries.
Yeah, let's say, Austin Aries was the star of the show tonight.
Yeah.
He has so many lines or moments that were great.
Yeah.
He was tremendous.
He was.
But the show around him, Hogan's just horrible on everything Hogan says. He looks terrible, and everything he says has no sense of psychology or logic behind it.
No.
It just seems completely random.
Let me tell you something, Austin Aries.
And he continues to make himself look bigger and better than everybody else, and it's just awful.
I'm going to give you the guy that hates you probably more than I do, and that's Rob Van Dam, brother. And it's like,
yeah,
What?
He has this whole thing with Bully Ray and this blood feud they're building, and
yeah.
I'm going to give you a guy who hates you more than... The only guy who might hate you more than me are RVD, Rob Van Dam.
And then
the announcers go at the opening of the match go, this is the first ever meeting between Rob Van Dam and Austin Aries. Like, really? They hate each other so fucking much.
I know. Well, that was the thing is when I think it was okay. that...
We spent the rest of the night just ripping on him for this type of bullshit.
Well,
but this is Hogan. This was just one example of many.
I think it
and
was,
he's on the show a lot.
It was Mike Tenay that said the main event of Impact. This is the first ever meeting
yeah.
between Daniel Bryan and Rey Mysterio.
Yeah.
So, I mean, no,
nice.
it totally just flows right over. You've got aces and eights. You've got the Shield.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got, you know what I mean? Like, it's just, you've got tag team, you've got the primetime players, you've got Kazarian. I mean, everything just seems the same. And it's
yeah.
not even a matter of TNA copying WWE at this point. It's just
it
that, they're, it's just that they're the same.
It's the same,
and nothing
feels important.
And it just, because, quite frankly, I mean, nothing is important. I mean,
but there was a great moment Hogan saying, you want to come, like, because Austin Aries was in the back, and he's cutting a promo on Brooke and everybody, and he's like, I'm going to lie down on this desk. Oh, it's kind of hard. This is uncomfortable. Tell me, Brooke, how do you get comfortable
yeah,
with your
lie
down?
How do you do it, Brooke? I don't know
yeah.
how you do it.
Yeah, and that was great. And then Hogan comes, and Kenny King and Kid Cash and who the fuck was the other guy?
Oh, Kenny King, Kid Cash, Zima Ion.
We're all laughing over this line
yeah.
of calling, you know, Brooke a slut, basically.
Yeah.
So Hogan gets in the back, and he's like, everybody's back here, hee-hee-hawing. Hee-hee-ha-ha.
Yeah, it's all hee-hee-ha-ha.
It's all hee-hee-ha-ha. And you, Zima Ion, I saw you there. You said it. You were hee-hee-ha-hawing. You tell me why it is, brother, that you should stick around.
Yeah, yeah. Kenny King, you're hee-hee-hawing, and Kid Cash talking about all your, like, holsters. Right now, the only thing you've got in common with holsters is you're wearing red and yellow, brother.
But you were hee-hee-ha-hawing, too.
Yeah, it's like, fuck, it's just so...
Just bad.
It really, it's just horrible.
So too much Hulk Hogan and he's not good, and then everything else is the same as WWE, and it's
The TNA angle that they furthered was that D'Lo Brown took Al Snow's place, because Al Snow was nowhere to be found for the gut check, and D'Lo was the final vote, which gave Wes Briscoe a TNA contract.
Yes, yes, and that was an odd moment. Wes Briscoe looks nicely like he's passing the wellness test.
Oh, God. Shaky as fuck when he read that.
Oh, he's just, oh yeah, he just looked like
he's holding one of those shake weights.
Yeah, exactly. I was thinking he's like imitating Michael J. Fox or something there. But, that was in poor taste. I'm sorry. Did you say that? Not me. It's usually poor taste.
He's so nervous he's shaking like a leaf on a tree.
But the point is, this was just... The thing is, and you turned to me and you said, so when we first launched, or they launched this Aces and Eights thing, we didn't know who these guys were. We were excited. We thought Chris Masters, D.H. Smith.
You know, we thought Luke Gallows.
Yeah, we did think Luke Gallows, but we thought of some other big names in there. MVP.
Yes, MVP was another one.
You know, a few other guys, right?
Yes.
And now we're looking at it, and who have we got?
We've got D-Von. We've got Luke Gallows.
Wes
Briscoe,
Garrett Bischoff.
And D'Lo Brown.
Yeah.
You know.
And if anybody doesn't understand the difference between those names that we listed first and the second group of names and why this thing has died,
yeah. It's potential,
and why it is
right?
We don't give a fuck,
yeah.
Then you don't understand wrestling.
Well, no, and it's...
I'm sorry, Michael J. Fox, you're a fellow Canadian.
And you comment on...
your wife's still hot, it's
fucking... Ryback blogs.
What, was that a lot, too?
What?
Huh?
Yeah. I'm trying to think of... what would you think I would do at this moment? I'm trying to think of those are the guys that you've got in AC. And then, of course, you've got the leader, Bob Orton.
Yeah. Hmm? Oh, man. Oh, but that does bring me to, we watched a couple things here. We watched, over tonight, we watched a little bit of Stampede Wrestling from 1989.
We tried.
The highlight was, oh, it's so shitty. It was like, oh, man, we were really watching this back in 1989. My memory is better than this.
It really is. Well, this is at the end, too. This is the final show.
This is the first match that Stevie Boy Smith's brother, Johnny Smith, after Dynamite Kid had turned on Davey Boy Smith, and they were teaming as the British Bruisers.
This was the debut of the British Bruisers. Well, because Johnny Smith, the brother of Davey Boy Smith, Johnny Smith was the British Bruiser, Johnny Smith.
Yeah.
That was his name, and then they became the British Bruisers. Dynamite.
And the highlight of this show was you turning to me and going, well, explain it.
Well, the only thing, I haven't seen this in, oh God, well, since it aired.
20 years.
Yeah.
It's 20 years since you've seen it. Well, 1989
since
is
I've
23
seen,
years.
Since I've seen Johnny Smith.
Yeah.
But the only thing I remember about Johnny Smith, because the man they call B and I used to just make fun of him all the time. He was a heel for most of his run. He started a babyface, sort of, then shortly turned heel. But every interview he ever gave, didn't matter who he was feuding with, whether it was Brian Pillman, Chris Benoit, Davey Boy Smith, didn't matter who, Ron Ritchie, didn't matter. It was always the same promo. He's like, where are you? Where are you hiding at?
Everything.
Where are you hiding at?
He's like, didn't he always say that? You're like, didn't he always say that? Did he always say, oh, where are you? Where are you hiding at? I was like, I don't know. I don't think he ever said that.
First words out of his mouth.
So he finally cuts the promo.
Chris Benoit, where are you? Where are you hiding at?
I'm like, fuck.
Don't you come face me. That was always every promo.
We may have him on the show sometime.
I think maybe we probably should.
Yeah, and then we watched a little
Herb Abrams UWF from I don't even know when.
And explain the moment that... Now, first off, it was a pretty great show.
It was. I'm trying to remember the match.
It was Bob Orton.
No, before the main event, though, there was...
Oh, it was... what was it? Yeah, it was... Herb Abrams obviously got beat up
by... Yeah, they did a thing
with... What was his name? Dr. Red or something like that? Was
Colonel Red. And Ivan Koloff he managed.
That's right, yeah.
And, and the Boogie Woogie Man.
That's... Holy fuck, how could I have forgotten this?
The Boogie Woogie Man.
This was the scariest thing I'd ever seen in my entire life.
The anorexic 90-year-old Boogie Woogie Man.
90-year-old, 9 pounds.
If anybody could picture Mr. Burns from The Simpsons wrestling,
yes!
This is the Boogie Woogie
yes!
Man.
That's what his body looked
yes.
like. Mr. Burns, and we're not exaggerating.
Not at all.
I'm sitting here, and I'm sitting there, because they've had on the beginning. It's on ESPN, what is it, ESPN 2 or ESPN 3, Classics, whatever.
Yeah, ESPN Classics.
Yeah, so, and you're like, oh, and they have this warning at the beginning. Like, and I'm like, why would they give a warning for this show? It's all UWF, or you know? You're like, oh, just wait. We're sitting there watching this, and Herb Abrams is cutting a promo, and Colonel Red, and Koloff's out there, and all of a sudden, and they're like, I'm never going to, the Boogie Woogie Man, he's never coming around, and all of a sudden, Boogie Woogie Man comes out from the back.
Yeah.
And I see this man, Mr. Burns with the beard, basically.
Yeah.
And he comes out, and Miley responds, I'm sitting there, mouth is open. And you're laughing your ass off. And my response is, holy fuck! Holy fuck!
Yeah.
Holy fuck!
Yeah.
Holy fuck!
And then you turned to me at one point and you said, "When is this going to be offensive?" I'm like, "This doesn't offend you."
Well, I was like, "I can't believe I can't believe this is a human being alive." Like,
I know.
This looks like somebody who's been dead for about 5 years. Like,
Woogie Man's been dead for 15 years.
Like, it was unbelievable. Like a layer of skin stretched over bone.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you know, just unreal.
And
so he wrestled a match.
So he wrestled a match against Ivan Koloff, and then he
ends in a bloodbath of Abrams getting his
one
of the worst.
Well, no, the
ever.
Best part was Ivan Koloff won by cheating.
Yeah.
And then the owner, Herb Abrams, comes out and gets on a microphone and says, like, "That's bullshit. I'm reversing the decision."
Yeah.
So, like.
But Colonel Rad hits him with some really bad work punches and whatever.
Now, was that
he got a horrible...
Was that the only... Was there no other matches?
Was Colonel Red anybody else? Yeah, it was just like the two matches. Was Colonel Red anybody else?
I don't even know. I didn't recognize Colonel Red as anything else.
And this is, again, in a high school gym. This is what, like 1991?
Yeah, 91, 92 maybe? Yeah, I don't even... But they had the... I mean, the opening video montage had, like, Dr. Death, Steve Williams.
Yeah, they had a lot of great talent. 94,
actually.
Mick Foley.
Bob Backlund, Don Morocco, Luna Vachon, Hall of Famer Lou Albano.
Yeah.
You had...
You're
going to fight
like that.
The Samoans.
Yeah.
Samoan SWAT team, head shrinkers, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, then you had Paul Orndorff and Bob Orton, which was the main event.
It was like a 35-minute match. It was the main event. Wicked match.
It was a couple of matches, though, because they
showed some highlights of what was building to this. Yeah, Bob Orton was the babyface defending against the heel for the belt. But the match itself went probably like 25 minutes.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, but it was a long match. It was a tremendous match.
It was, and it had one of the greatest moments in professional wrestling history.
And I am determined to somehow figure out a way to make a GIF of this, so I will show you all. I'm going to put it on the website.
Yes.
It will be our official new mascot.
I'm sorry,
Freaks TV Channel E, all your work. We need this more. This will probably be our new everything.
This is actually going to become Mo's profile picture on the site.
Probably.
But what it was, they're fighting outside the ring, Orton and Orndorff, and then it's zoomed in pretty, and you don't see anything. But all of a sudden you see Orndorff turn to the crowd and start shaking the rail and yelling.
Yeah, and then he's doing this, like, "Come on, come on."
And he's like challenging
somebody. He's got his dukes up, like, "Come on."
Yeah.
And you hear the announcer, who was John Tolos and
Greg DeGeorge.
And to challenge somebody in the crowd.
Yeah.
And then the camera cuts to the guy he's challenging. I cannot explain this, but you please try.
Well, it was this super fat guy.
That's not fat enough.
Wearing
the smallest little T-shirt.
And it was like, it was one of the UWF wrestlers' T-shirts, like Sunny Beach or, a pink and yellow T-shirt.
And yellow.
And this guy was climbing the rail.
The guy was probably like 55.
He was like, he was like vibrating and like yelling at him.
He's like trying to get at Orndorff.
Trying to get at Orndorff and like.
He gets up on the rail. He slips and almost falls off. Gets back up.
Oh, yeah.
Trying to climb the rail.
He couldn't climb the rail. Yeah, he couldn't climb the rail. He had to take like a step that was like a foot and a half up.
It's unbelievable.
And Orndorff was just out, and this guy is just still going at it and trying to get out of it.
Oh,
it was so funny.
This was not, you're hearing some fan, and I was expecting two things, a young kid or an old lady.
Yeah.
And then you saw this guy.
And
you didn't see this coming, and it was the funniest fucking thing. Oh. We rewinded and watched it like five times.
Yeah, we did. It was great.
Next
week on the show, though.
Yeah.
What is it?
The show is called the Thunder Hour,
and next week
it's called the Fury Hour.
The Fury Hour, next week on the Fury Hour. I'm like, what is this, the Thunder Hour?
I was like, is this every week they change it, or is it just that they forgot?
I don't know. I've got it set now on a series of recording.
Oh, good.
So we'll find out.
Looking right.
But it's got, and next week, though, is Convict 34269, who was Mo of Men on a Mission. The next guy they showed having a match, the Night Stalker. Well, I don't know if it was against each other, if it was just single jobber matches, but was the Night Stalker, also known as Adam Bomb. And then, what was the, they had a, oh, I'm trying to remember what the other, I think it was, there was a main event, it was like, oh, they had
no, they also had the guy, the Sunny Beach's tag partner,
yeah,
Wildside.
It's Wet and Wild.
Wet and
Sunny
Wild.
Beach and Wildside something.
Chris and,
yeah,
I don't know, it doesn't matter. All that matters is that they had Mo for Men on a Mission and Adam Bomb, meaning that they had
Mo and Adam, back to back.
Awesome.
And a fat guy. So you get two things.
Fuck you. Let's play our game, and then we're going to go out for the week.
The whole week?
Yeah.
I have another thing, too.
Oh,
all
right.
Well, I have a couple things here.
Oh, yeah. Jesus Christ. Sick of you at this point.
Well, RKO Unlimited on Twitter asked it today, because they asked for some Twitter questions. RKO Unlimited today.
Fuck him.
I know.
I'm sorry.
Her.
What?
For her. You don't know.
I don't know.
You think you know her? You don't know.
Yeah, what she want?
We want to know who we thought were a list of some of the most influential wrestlers in history.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Like, I'm just
I don't think he was.
I don't know. Abraham Lincoln, he was an amateur wrestler, and he was pretty influential.
Yeah, or John Wilkes Booth, he was a shooter.
Yeah. Nice. High five. That was good. Some of the most influential wrestlers. First guy that comes to mind for me is Gorgeous George.
Okay, yeah.
Really putting the entertainment to a new level within wrestling.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he's obviously one.
You know who the one actually who, in a modern type era, you know who the first guy that comes to my head, really strangely enough, is Sean Waltman, the 1-2-3 Kid.
He was, yeah.
When the 1-2-3 Kid beat Razor Ramon, that was sort of the first of that smaller string bean guy that Vince kind of took. And you started to see that, you know, that allowed guys like, you know, like Chris Candido and even getting Barry Horowitz pushed at that point. I mean, a lot of it had to do with the steroid trial, but, I mean, the 1-2-3 Kid come in May of 1993, right?
And certainly for as long as people who of a certain age who wanted to become professional wrestlers because they love the art form of wrestling. Shawn Michaels and Bret Hart were the guys there.
Yeah.
For a lot of people. And Ric Flair, of course. Ric Flair is huge.
Yeah, Ric Flair, Shawn Michaels.
Rey Mysterio was a very influential guy. But, yeah, I mean, just going back further, Gorgeous George, Antonio Rocca.
Yeah,
very, very influential.
I think Bruno Sammartino was very influential
Bruno
as well.
Bruno Sammartino
was
very influential. The Fabulous Kangaroos, very influential.
Mm-hmm.
Over in Japan, Antonio Inoki. So, well, very, very influential.
Well,
what was it? Carl Gotch.
Carl Gotch, yeah. Who was, Sakuraba? Is that
Sakuraba,
the,
yeah. So, I mean, these are, yeah. Yeah, but, I mean, Gorgeous George, I think, for the modern era for television, is the guy who changed the medium.
He did allow,
the sports entertainment aspect
of it, yes, yeah. You know, you think about shaving heads, and things. I'll go another fellow that valets and shaving valets' heads.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'll think of another guy, someone we talked about on one of our first shows was Sputnik Monroe.
Very influential.
You know, in terms
of his influence isn't so much in the ring or influencing people. It said he was a big star and
desegregation, right?
Desegregation, yeah.
So,
that was certainly a big deal.
But I'm just trying to give names that you know, it'd be Hulk Hogan, right? I mean, well, sure.
Well, yeah,
but,
I mean that's obvious.
Yeah.
But instead of Hulk Hogan, I'll say Billy Graham. Billy Graham, in a lot of ways, is probably more influential than Hulk Hogan.
Well, yeah, because without Billy Graham, there is no Hulk Hogan,
Hulk
no Jesse Ventura, right?
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
exactly. Jesse Ventura, as far as announcers,
yeah,
hugely influential.
Mm-hmm.
And so changing that, so.
But, I think even someone like Bill Watts.
Yeah.
Right? In terms of, he may have the opposite effect as Sputnik Monroe, but but in terms of the wrestling booking and that sort of tough guy style, I think that I think of Bill Watts with that.
And Vern Gagne and Stu Hart as trainers.
Yeah.
Very, very influential.
Very much, yeah, in terms of the who's who of 80s wrestling, really.
Yeah.
You think of, you know, Ric Flair and Ken Patera and Ricky Steamboat and Sergeant Slaughter and Iron Sheik. Billy Graham, all, you know, coming out of there, Jim Brunzel, guys that come out of Vern Gagne, and then you think of the guys.
Well, sorry, I was thinking of Billy Graham's, trained by Stu Hart, right?
Well, Billy Graham come, you think of, you know, like, well, and all the Hart guys, and then the Anvil, and then stuff,
yeah,
but
a lot
think
of
JYD,
and
Jake
Roberts,
and Honky Tonk Man, you know, so.
Yeah.
It's, yeah, definitely,
I mean, he didn't train Honky Tonk. Honky Tonk already was established.
He was.
I guess you could say that. No, I mean,
but he created Honky Tonk Ferris, right?
Yeah, he created
the character
Honky Tonk
that
Ferris,
he's most famous for.
Yeah. And, you know, obviously, yeah, I mean, you talk about the Hearts and obviously.
Benoit, Dynamite, Bulldog, Bob Brown.
And Dynamite, if we're going to talk about influential guys, Dynamite, extremely influential.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Extremely influential.
Yeah.
I'm a kid.
Yeah, no, definitely.
And not just for Chris Benoit, but simply for, again, he's one of the guys that made wrestling, after Gorgeous George made it sports entertainment, he's one of the guys that made it look real again. And made, mm-hmm. He's one of, you talk about the
Maybe.
Skinny, okay, on a national level, there's the skinny guy like you talk about the
Waltman. Yeah.
As far as smaller guys, I mean, let's think about it though. I mean, Dynamite Kids first, right?
Well, but again, not on a national level so much.
Well, yeah, sure, he was British Bulldog. They were national.
As a tag team.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he had the one match against Macho Man at the Wrestling Classic. But, I mean, in terms of an individual singles competitor, you didn't see,
People within the wrestling industry and people who wanted to become wrestlers, he was huge.
Oh, he was, definitely. No, but who was the scrawniest guy that Vince sort of had nationally before that? I mean, in terms of a singles role, you know, no one that got pushed as hard. I mean, like Danny Davis, right? I mean, and even he was probably towered over the 1-2-3 Kid, right?
Yeah,
so
yeah, I suppose, yeah.
It's just a different era, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
But no, I think that those, the Legion of Doom as well.
Oh, very influential, absolutely.
To talk about the Dudleys, and then you spin off the Powers of Pain and the Demolition.
The Sting, right?
Sting, Ultimate Warrior. Well, they started at that as a whatever Power Team USA as a knockoff.
As a knockoff,
right?
Exactly.
So, absolutely. So.
Yeah. So I think that's pretty good rundown.
I'm just looking to see if we had what else. We talked about the Honky Tonk Man. Did I mention that Miz is the Honky Tonk Man?
What do you
He's
mean?
A really shitty baby face.
Honky Tonk with a shitty baby face when he first came in. That's
true.
Yeah, that's a good comparison. What else you got here?
Well, WWE also sent us another DVD.
Oh, the DVD, yeah.
The 100 Top Raw Moments.
Yeah.
So, I thought we could just sort of, I'll read the moments to you.
Okay.
And then you can sort of give me your impression.
If there's one where I want to talk about, I'll just cut you off. Otherwise, just keep reading.
Well, yes, and I think the moments are here, but in terms of this is in order. It's supposed to be in order as well. So they're counting down to the best Raw moment of all time. Number 100, they call it the Silent Stare.
Taker and Hunter. Yeah, okay.
So I think that's okay. But not as good as number 99. Tea Time with Santino.
I don't even remember.
It was in England.
Mm-hmm.
Santino and Kozlov.
Mm-hmm.
And their guest, I believe, was Sheamus.
Mm.
And Sheamus beat them up.
Yeah. No.
Number 98, Evolution kicks out Randy Orton.
That was a good moment.
It was a good moment. And probably right in that spot.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
The WrestleMania 14 Challenge. The face off with Steve Austin and
The Rock
Shawn Michaels.
Oh, Shawn Michaels? Okay. Yeah, WrestleMania 14, yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Number 96, Mouth to Mouth, where Goldust performs Mouth to Mouth to Ahmed Johnson.
Nope.
A moment in which JR on the Raw Roundtable.
Hmm.
tells a story about how when after it happened, Ahmed Johnson legitimately wanted to kill Dustin and requested a meeting with Vince McMahon to air out his grievances with this man who has placed his lips on Ahmed Johnson, Tony Norris. So Vince not being available makes JR do it. And Ahmed is just screaming that, just gonna just literally, literally kill somebody. So, to the point, to the point where the Godfather, Charles Wright, offers, tells JR, I'm going to go into this meeting with you and just, like, stand behind you to make sure he doesn't actually hit you or to keep him in control.
Yeah.
Because he was just that out of control, the fact that he couldn't separate Tony Norris and Dustin Runnels, the people, from this Gold Dust Ahmed Johnson angle. Fucking brilliant guy.
I'd like to just go on to say they continue to give him a push after that.
They did, actually.
Yeah.
And then he got kicked in the kidney there, and then that was about it, though, for him.
Well, I mean, after kicked in the kidney was after he was main eventing a pay-per-view with Sid and Sean, right? Against
that was after, after, but this, that was the progression, actually.
That's what I'm saying, yeah, he continued to get the push up, you know.
No, no, they did In Your House International Incident with that match.
Yeah.
And then the next month, I believe, was the Kiss.
That was it?
That led
there,
and then he won the Intercontinental title from Goldust.
Yeah.
Then he got that match, then he got kicked by Farouk, the blue-helmeted Farouk, which caused
the
tournament.
The gladiator gimmick, the fucking worst thing ever.
And then by the time Ahmed come back, it was
with
the giant 2x4. He had the giant 2x4. It could be like Hacksaw.
Yeah,
he had the giant 2x4. And then
that led to the Chicago Street Fight.
The Chicago Street Fight, the worst street fight in wrestling history at WrestleMania 13. And then it pretty much kind of stopped. Then he joined the Nation.
That's right.
And then he got hurt again.
Yeah. And then he refused to do the job for Kane, I believe.
It was Kurgan.
Oh, Kurgan.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I refused that, too.
Plus, he hurt a lot of people.
Yes. Well, that was it. So, anyways, that was number 96. Number 95, Sheamus puts Mark Cuban through a table.
Okay, keep going.
94, we previously mentioned, Are You Ready for Some Wrestling?
Okay.
That's skit. Which I thought, okay, that's it. Next one, DX mocks the McMahons. DX dressed up with the McMahon. He went, stop it! And Sean fell as Shane, that was pretty good.
Yeah, that was
92, not so good. The tuxedo match.
Yeah, shit.
Harvey Whippleman.
That's a match, yeah.
Yeah.
We're
going
to put on all the great matches Raw's had. Let's put that fucking on.
Well, let's also
that's
put on...
That's our first fucking match, too.
Yeah, yes, it is. Let's put on Seth Green being the first celebrity host.
Yeah, fuck off.
Yes. Then let's... Oh, here's a... This one needs to be much, much higher, I think. Snitsky punts Kane and Lita's baby.
Not my fault.
Fucking hilarious.
Oh, it's awful.
89. The first, I think, legitimate... Well, I shouldn't say that.
Who the fuck voted this shit?
I have no idea. 89. Shawn Michaels super kicks Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah. 88. Mr. McMahon trains for the Royal Rumble.
That was funny.
That was good. 87. Loser leaves Raw ladder match. Edge and Matt Hardy.
Oh, yeah. It's all right.
Yeah. 86, Mr. McMahon is bald.
Nope.
No. Oh, 85, though. Dearly, Trailer Park Trash.
That was great.
The Rock's eulogy for Steve Austin.
Yeah, that was tremendous.
84 was the Milan Miracle. Santino wins the Intercontinental title.
Nope. It was all right, though.
Okay. 83, Mr. McMahon's birthday bash with DX.
Don't even remember
it. Awful.
Okay.
Big, fat, oily, naked guy.
Oh, yeah.
A bunch of shit.
Fuck them.
Yeah. 82, I guess if you count the Milan Miracle, this would be the third match. Marty Jannetty versus Shawn Michaels.
Okay, great match.
Yes, it was, where Marty Jannetty wins the Intercontinental title.
Great match.
Same Raw as the 1-2-3 Kid beating Razor Ramon.
Good point.
Edge's retirement speech, number 81.
That was a good moment.
That was a good moment, yeah.
Did you do another one the next night on SmackDown, though?
On SmackDown, yeah, I did as well. His mom was there.
Yeah. That one was even better.
Yes. And off-camera, there's like a 40-minute thing on YouTube about it.
Yeah.
Number 80, Triple H takes over DX.
Okay.
Forms a DX army there. Yeah. I think that's all right. 79, Hugh Jackman punches Dolph Ziggler.
Fuck off. Go on.
Oh, 78, classic moment. Musical chairs.
Go on.
Woo!
With Ric Flair, yes, I know.
77, The Big Show's first match.
Go on.
Okay. Should note, The Big Show's first match, March 22nd, 1999. He debuted February 14th. It's uncharacteristic for Vince Russo to hold off that long.
Mm.
But, really, it was. 76, 1 hour in England. John Cena,
okay.
Shawn Michaels.
Yeah. All right. The one where people were turning off the TV?
Yep. Great match. 75, another great match. Loser leaves town.
Mm-hmm.
Ric Flair, Mr. Perfect.
That was tremendous.
That was good, huh? 74, Triple H and Shawn Michaels reunite D-Generation X.
Okay.
You know, that happened July 22nd, 2002.
I believe it.
10 years ago.
Yeah.
Over 10 years ago.
I believe it.
Fuck.
Yeah.
73, fuck. Yes. 73, CM Punk cashes in Money in the Bank.
Great bonus.
Oh, 72, Stephanie announces her pregnancy.
Not a great moment.
71, Bret Hart versus Stone Cold Steve Austin street fight.
Okay, that's good.
Yes. 70, Floyd Money Mayweather confronts the Big Show.
Yeah, it was all right.
That
was the thing was the moment at the pay-per-view was much better.
It was, but that was the best, if it's what it should be, that's the best one on Raw. Remember when Shane was all like, calm down, and he was playing the Vince McMahon, you ruined it thing. That was the best of it outside of the pay-per-view build.
Yeah.
We haven't watched this yet, but we just got it. But number 69, Kofi Kingston, boom, boom, boom. I'm assuming that's his jumping off.
That'd be the table thing on Orton in Madison Square Garden.
Yeah.
It's a tremendous moment.
Yeah.
They really fucked it up.
They did. Speaking of fucked up, 68?
Yep.
Hornswoggle is Mr. McMahon's son.
Fuck off.
Yes. That's much better than the Marty Jannetty Shawn Michaels.
Oh, fucking right. This fucking idiot.
Yes. Y2J throws HBK into the Geritron 5000.
Hmm.
Remember that? That was a good moment, actually.
Mm. Yeah, it was good.
Not the
best moment of all the stuff they did, but it was good.
The Corvette getting cemented.
Very memorable.
Number 66 here. Oh, 65. Donald Trump, the new chairman of WWE.
Yeah, sucked.
Oh, come on. Did wonders for the stock price.
Yeah, did a good rating, though.
It did.
Also, they had no commercials.
That was the one, where they had no commercials. And then they had the worst pay-per-view buy rate the following. That was a go-home show.
Yeah.
And they had the worst pay-per-view buy rate that they'd had in years.
Because they did nothing to promote the pay-per-view.
That's
it was all
right.
About that
It was
shit.
All about Donald Trump and how all the stock owners who are actually, most of the stock owners, as we all know, most of the WWE stockholders are...
Marks.
Well, no, they're television program directors.
Oh.
Right? So they all, when they found out Donald Trump, they all sold. It was just a fiasco. But 63, The Rock makes fun of Toronto.
That was great.
That was. Talking about the Leafs sucking, which is true. 62, Bob Barker hosts.
Yeah, there was $1 billion, though. The most valuable hockey franchise. The next most valuable is the Rangers, like $250 million left.
Yeah, I know.
And they haven't won a Stanley Cup since 1967.
That's right.
All right, two goes on.
the year he was
just discovered. Our fucking Canadian era.
Bob Barker hosts Raw.
All right.
Number 61. It was me, Austin. It was me all along.
Keep going.
60. The Intercontinental title goes over a bridge.
That was all right.
My favorite part about that, just from 1997, just to show you how times change.
Yeah.
Because when your beeper goes off,
yeah,
and it hits you with the 316.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, fuck beepers. It's 59. The dumpster incident.
Oh, good.
Foley and Terry Funk there.
Yeah.
58. Miz cashes in Money in the Bank.
Nope.
Well, that's a moment, Don.
It's a moment, but not even top 100. Sorry.
I might make the 100 on this list.
100 on this list, maybe.
Yeah.
All right.
Canada versus U.S. in a flag match.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Not great.
Yeah, that wasn't the best part of that show. That wasn't even the third best. That was probably the fourth best thing on that show.
On that show, yeah.
Yeah, because you had the Shawn promo.
Yeah.
You had the Bret Hart, Vince McMahon hockey fight.
Yeah.
And you had one of the parts, I think maybe part three of the Mick Foley interview there. And then you had the flag. So, yeah. It was, however, better than, I believe it was Goldust against, like, Kama Mustafa. And, like, it had, like, this horrible
spot. Get fucking there. Get.
Yeah. 56. Nice. Ric Flair's retirement celebration.
Yeah, that should be in the top five. Minimum. If not number one.
The thing is, it's not as good as number 55, Lita versus Trish.
No.
Or 54, Chris Jericho wins, in quotation, the WWE Championship.
Oh, you mean the one where he didn't win?
He won and didn't win, yeah.
Yeah, that was cool, but
53, Dude Love debuts.
All right.
You know. 52, John Cena versus Kevin Federline.
Uh-huh. No way that... You know what? You're right. There's no way Ric Flair's retirement ceremony matches that.
K-Fed. Come on.
Fuck.
Who's
Kevin Federline now?
Yeah. Doesn't he work at Arby's? Well, 51. Goldberg debuts.
Yeah, shitty.
Number 50, halfway there, Brock Lesnar returns to Raw.
A great moment.
Yes. 49. The formation of Evolution.
Nope.
48, the DX reunion at Raw 1000.
Mm.
47, Shaq attacks the Big Show.
Uh-huh.
46, Mankind attacks Jim Ross.
That was a good moment.
That was a very good moment, because that was the third installment of the promos there that we talked to. Much better than the Kamala Mustafa Goldust match. Rock versus John Cena, 1 year away.
Okay.
Let me do the announcement. 44, Bret Hart shoves Mr. McMahon. This is after the cage match
on the
WrestleMania Go Home show when he says frustrated in the goddamn word for it. This is bullshit.
This is bullshit. The one you put on the was one of your promos.
That's right. That. Yes. Vader attacks Gorilla Monsoon at number 43. 42, Jeff Hardy's Swanton off the Tron.
I'd say Vader returning on Raw when that night, when he was the first guy back, was almost a better moment. It was a great moment.
Against Heath Slater.
Yeah.
Yeah. 41, Stone Cold drives the Zamboni.
Oh, that is not high enough. That was great.
What also isn't high enough is number 40, Choppy Choppy PP.
Fuck off! Are you serious? This is on the list?
It is. It's over 40.
You fucking fuckers. Fuck you.
Choppy, choppy, your PP.
Oh, my God. I guess it's memorable, not good.
Yeah.
I guess there is a difference. And it is memorable.
It is
fuck
memorable.
Fuck that, but memorable.
No, Choppy's PP.
But his ass was exposed.
It was. That's true. But it was digitalized.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Of course.
39.
That's like when DX took a piss and they digitalized up with the X's. Take off your hat.
I am.
It's stupid on you.
My headset's like, oh, yeah. Anyway.
And it's almost end of... I think you can shave that Movember now.
Why? It's not the end of the month yet.
I know.
It's going to be... it's going to be difficult. No, it's going to be a little... I guess, deflating to no longer be confused with Tom Selleck. So, it's interesting.
Even the gay character he played in In-N-Out, right?
Hmm? In where? I love In-N-Out Burger.
Keep going.
39, Mike Tyson joins DX. All right,
that was a moment.
38, Batista quits WWE.
That was a moment.
That was a moment. 37, Brett screwed Brett.
Sure, it's all memorable.
That was a moment. 36, DX forms, originally, 1997, August 11th.
Yeah.
35, Nexus wrecks havoc.
That was
I think that actually should be, I'd put that one higher.
Yeah.
34, the live sex celebration.
How many spots above Ric Flair's retirement was I chopping your pee-pee?
16.
Fuck you! I'm sorry, what was the next one? What was the one you just said?
The live sex celebration.
Okay.
You know, that ratings impact. And,
okay,
and
no, it's definitely important.
And helps solidify Edge.
Yeah, and we saw, just for half a second, we did see Lita's nipple.
We did. We did.
The whole fucking thing.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Again. 33, Mr. McMahon versus Stone Cold with one hand tied behind your back.
I'm looking forward to seeing where it is on this list that is this McMahon pissing his pants.
Oh, yeah. That's excellent. I'll get there. 32, The Rock challenges Hulk Hogan.
Okay.
That's not high enough, I think. The first ever stunner on Vince McMahon.
Second worst stunner ever.
Yes.
Linda. Oh, Linda was bad. I was going to say Donald Trump.
Oh, yes, that was bad, too.
Those are the top three worst stunners,
yeah.
Ever taken.
That is true. DX invades the Norfolk Scope in WCW.
Not high enough.
No, certainly not high enough. The debut of Monday Night Raw comes in at number 29.
Wow.
Not sure why.
A Mae Young powerbomb through a table.
Yes, Mae Young powerbomb is next.
Lovely boys. Yeah, certainly.
It was definitely.
That helped her in the baby face.
Yes, it did, actually. Well, because that was leading up to them then powerbombing Stephanie was the thing there, yeah. The ECW-WCW Alliance was definitely a moment. Number 27. No, that was a good moment for that night.
No,
that was
a great
moment that
the
night.
The second that fucking happened, I hated it.
Oh, I loved it.
Well, that's a discussion for another fucking day.
Well, I loved the first part. Then at the end of the show. Well, I guess, though, the WCW-ECW Alliance, you're right, I did, was crap. The ECW getting their own faction in there, that's what I liked.
That was fine.
Yes.
Because I was like, oh, three-way feud.
Yeah, exactly, right? The Rock returns. That was the last one there.
But then you get the next moment.
Bedpan McMahon.
Yeah.
Then you have Bret Hart returns to Raw.
Uh-huh.
Not as good of a moment as when Triple H returned to Raw, which is the next one.
Fucking ridiculous. Of course it isn't.
No. I'm surprised that's not.
Oh, no, it's way bigger.
Yeah. Undertaker versus Jeff Hardy is number 22. That ladder match?
Yeah, okay, but it's way too high.
Yeah. Milkamania, Kurt Angle Milk Truck, 21. No, it's fucking way too high.
It's way too high. It's funny. It's great, but
it's not. To me, it doesn't even make the list.
To me, it makes top between 50 and 100 somewhere.
Maybe. Number 20, though, is the one who three fun. Kid and Razor Ramon.
That's good, but come on. Better than Bret Hart? Better than Shawn? No.
Yeah, I know.
It's a big moment and all, but.
I know. Batista turns on Evolution is number 19. 18, Foley wins the championship.
That was great.
Yes. Bischoff, new Raw GM, number 17.
I'll never forget it.
Yeah, no, that's too low, I think. Shawn Michaels loses his smile.
Oh, fuck off. That should be like 90.
Yeah, that's true. Sable wears a potato sack, number 15.
Mm-hmm.
Why wouldn't it be?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mr. McMahon Appreciation Night, number 14.
Fuck off. Are you serious?
Yes, but I agree with this only if they play that Iron Sheik promo with Mr. McMahon bin Cuckoo. I play racquetball with you.
Yeah.
Then I'm good with it.
Yeah.
And that's, of course, the car right before Benoit killed him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awful.
Pillman Gun Angle, speaking of killing.
Well, it's funny to fall on it, though.
That's true.
That's true. Yeah.
So that's number 13. Number 12, the Vegas wedding. Triple H and Stephanie. Number 11. Kane Unmasked.
Oh, fuck off. It's way too high.
Yes.
Because when he unmasked, you're like, what fucking stupid eye makeup and hair?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it just looked lame.
Yeah.
It wasn't a moment. It was a bad moment.
45 spots, a better moment than the Ric Flair retirement ceremony.
Yeah, and a good 8 or something like that ahead of Bret Hart returning? Are you shitting me?
Oh, it's 13 spots better.
Oh, 13 spots better.
Yes.
Oh, of course it
is. Number 10, the WrestleMania WrestleMania 26 challenge.
Which one?
Yeah. Yep. 2010.
WrestleMania 26 challenge. Shawn and Undertaker for the
rematch? Yeah. That was it.
Okay. It was good, but not obviously not good 10. Enough. We're struggling.
Yeah. Raw Nitro simulcast, number 9.
That was a big moment.
That was a big moment. The Rock concert.
Yeah, it was big.
That was
good.
Number 8.
Funny.
DX mocks the Nation.
Nope.
Number 7.
It was good, but come on, it's not.
No, it's not in the top there. Number 6, the number 1 draft pick.
John Cena gets the Raw.
Yes, that's John Cena going to Raw. That's
it
not
big.
The original. No.
No.
The Rock.
Pipe bomb.
Number 5, the pipe bomb. Number 4, Tyson and Austin. Not as good as the Millennium Man, Chris Jericho's debut.
Okay.
This is Your Life, number 2.
Mm-hmm.
And the number 1 Raw moment of all time is the beer bath.
Well, the last couple are good.
All right. I think...
Shitty list.
I disagree that it's a shitty list. Out of 100 moments there, I'd say I would...
I'd toss off 50 of them, is the thing.
I would toss off about 15 of them.
Yeah.
And to order be damned, right? It's a DVD. You just watch the stuff you want to watch,
right?
Not
nearly enough wrestling matches on there for me.
Well, no, but it is the top moments though of all time,
if you put on one wrestling match, you set a precedent, and for me, there's not nearly enough on there. Then things like the Shawn Michaels versus Shelton Benjamin.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Things like that.
Yeah, the Gold Rush tournament. Even the Triple H Shelton Benjamin, but I mean, I guess in hindsight, it doesn't matter. But I understand where you're going with that.
Yeah.
But anyway, that is it. I mean, yeah, it's one of the again, I guess, for lack of a better word, it's a typical WWF.
That's
event,
it,
right?
I mean, if you compare this to what they did with Bruno and being number 23 on the top 50 superstars or whatever, 100 superstars of all time.
And we looked at the 50 best WCW superstars at one point, right?
Same idea.
At least with that one, as I said, I may not agree with the order, but I agree that a lot of those moments deserve to be on there. Any moments that they left out that you would put in there that you can think of off the top of your head?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Regal kissing Vince McMahon's ass.
Yeah, that's...
Regal and Jericho pissing in his tea. This is tart.
Yes.
Ass cream. Fucking right. Christian and Chris Jericho. Ass cream.
The Gold Dust Booker tea stuff.
All the full Gold Dust Booker
stuff.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah, that does need to...
Chris Jericho, the first time I saw somebody doing the Photoshop on the Triton Throne, back before AJ did it, back when it was original funny and he did it with Benoit, especially with the Eeyore ears on Benoit.
Yes.
Oh, come on, that was great.
Even, I mean, you can't do it, but the Radicals.
Oh, yeah, the
you
Radicals.
You know, the Radicals debut was a moment.
Oh, yeah, fucking
you know,
right. That
it's,
was
it's a top 10
huge.
Moment, really. But, I
yeah,
mean,
really.
You can't... obviously do that. Just trying to think of, I mean, from that...
Rock's first heel promo.
Yeah. Yeah, the Rock's first one. I think even the Bret Hart, you know, after WrestleMania.
Bret Hart, Shawn. Bret Hart, Owen, and Davey Boy hugging.
To my fans, yes, exactly. To my fans in the United States and America, I apologize for nothing. You know, that promo there.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely needs to... to be on there. I mean, you think of those moments like Steve Austin beating up Bret Hart, who's tied up to the gurney in the back of the ambulance.
Oh, yeah.
You know, pulling
awesome.
Him out. And doing that might be in that street fight, though, actually.
No.
No, it wouldn't be, because that's what led to the street fight when he was in the thing. That's right. Or what led to him being in the on storyline into the in the wheelchair. But, so that moment. I just, again, but you know how funny it is that...
Owen Hart, I know they can't put it in there, but Owen Hart's first promo, when, after Owen's... Or Owen's first promo after Bret Hart left.
When he was the Black Hart with Vince, in with Vince McMahon, that's a good one. I'm just trying to think of even any...
The Joey Styles Backlash promo.
Yeah, Joey Styles and Backlash.
JR's promo the first time he turned heel.
With the fake Diesel and Razor.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good one. Even you...
When Lance Storm shows up.
Yeah, the first shot for WCW fired Lance Storm showing up would be a good one. I mean, they have the simulcast there.
Yeah.
What about DDP as the Stalker?
It was a moment.
I mean, it's...
So, well, how it turned out, but it was a moment.
It was, yeah. That's kind of what I was... I mean, I'm trying to think of...
The coveted... What is it? San Alvar...
The coveted San Alvar Trophy from the Royal Albert Hall?
Yes, thank you.
What about the finals of the European title?
Oh, fucking right.
You know, if you're going to put a match in there.
Yeah.
One you can't put in again, if you're going to put a match in there, is the two-man power trip against Jericho and Benoit.
Oh, yeah.
You know, in terms of... Remember that one match, I think it was Eddie Guerrero and Christian had in Edmonton?
They didn't have Vince pissing himself.
No, they didn't have Vince pissing himself, which is surprising, actually.
Yeah.
Bang 316.
Yeah.
They did have Bedpan McMahon, which had the Mr. Socko and the and the Bedpan. They had the cement truck, the Zamboni. I guess those are the you think of the Austin moments, and even the eulogy where he drove the monster truck. I guess those were kind of Austin's.
If we're talking simply memorable, Trish barking like a dog.
Yeah. What about the TLC match, Flair and Edge.
Yeah, or I was gonna say the TLC match, the tag team one.
That was on SmackDown though.
With Kane winning the.
Oh, that one, yes, because that was promoted Raw match of the decade when they did their Raw X or whatever, right? Match. So funny how times have changed, right?
Yeah.
But that was Hurricane that won the tag titles, right?
Yeah, and don't forget Shane getting his testicles electrocuted.
Yes, that's true. Mm-hmm. What about even when you talk about
Kurt Angle and Austin in the back, Jimmy Crackthorne. Yeah, but Austin and Austin and Rock singing
Margaritaville. Even Rock and Hurricane.
Yes. Ding-a-ling.
Yeah, he was a small ding-a-ling. The Scorpion King with the small ding-a-ling. Yeah, those were great moments. Even, I mean, Edge Christian and the Kazoo. You think you know me.
Yeah, that was tremendous.
Yeah.
That was tremendous.
But, there were... and those are just moments. Like, those aren't even...
And we're not even thinking about matches. And we're not even thinking a lot about 1995, 1996. Like, we're not even trying to go
try
back
not
to.
To.
No, well, you know.
Well, really,
there's
I mean.
Moment still, though, you know.
Sean collapsing.
Absolutely.
You know, with the Owen Inseguri.
Yeah.
Right, and the concussion.
Oh, Owen Inseguri, no question.
You know, I'm even trying to go back there now to that era. Mm-hmm. I mean, you didn't have too much.
Quite frankly, when Sean won the Intercontinental title the first time against the British Bulldog, Dibble Smith.
That was on Saturday Night's Main Event, though.
Was it?
Yeah, on Fox.
That's
1992.
Right,
Raw. It was about 2 months before Raw even debuted.
Yeah,
in November.
Right, it was. Yeah.
So, because Davey Boy and Warrior had left, right, for the thing. But I mean, even those early. I mean, you think of the early days, the return of Hulk Hogan to Raw in 1993 with the.
Oh yeah, absolutely. The night the NWO returned.
Well, there's that, too. Well, that's in there when Rock challenges Hogan, right?
Oh, that's right.
I mean, so that you have that. But I think Hogan returning to WWF on Raw in 1993.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
With the help Bruce Beefcake, right?
Yeah.
His friend of the end.
Yeah.
And then, again, you've got the 1-2-3 Kid there. What about the 1-2-3 Kid against Bret Hart?
Yeah, well, but that
94, right? That match, right? That
yeah.
JR even talks about as his personal highlight.
Yeah, exactly.
Because, I mean, you're trying to go back to 90. You know, we did some 93 stuff, just trying to find some stuff in, like, maybe we did 95, 94. I mean,
yeah,
it's tough. You got that Brett 1-2-3 kid match, but that was a time when Raw, we talked about, was in high school.
How about that time when Sean, right before Heart and Soul, Sean hits Taker in the head with the chair? Or right after Heart and Soul.
Yeah.
He hits him on the shaper with a hellacious chair shot. And that sets up the original Hell in a Cell. Or actually set up Ground Zero, which set up the original
Hell in Cell. Yeah, it set up Ground Zero, and then that's, that created
that,
the
original night that he slammed him with that chair.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Didn't see a lot
that's
of
when he was called the chairman of the WWE.
Yeah. We didn't see a lot of that. Yeah,
WWF.
There's a lot of moments, and I think almost everyone we just announced, I think almost every time we've seen a ceremony for somebody, like we saw for Ric Flair's, is a moment, you know? And,
well,
and I think everything we just announced to me could beat a lot of the stuff that's on that list. Like, I choppy your PG. Really?
I put that at number 100. It's all, it makes the list for me, though. choppy your PP. But you think of, now let's look at that, though. I mean, on that list, how many Attitude Era moments are there?
A lot.
Are there?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the don't, okay, they don't involve Austin.
Quite a few. Austin, DX had a lot.
Well, DX in the Nation was really the only one, and DX Forms.
Oh, yeah. So how about DX and the racist stuff with the Hart Foundation? And
yeah, that's right. That's right. No. That one is... I look at that one, that DX promo, where he talks about, you know, don't... When he coins the phrase D-Generation X.
Oh, Brett did, yeah.
But then they took it and they used it, and then, you know, he talked about, you know, you talk about your friends going down south, don't confuse destruction with expansion, and they showed the curtain call on the show. It was the night after Hell in the Cell.
Oh, hell, that Hunter promo where he talks about how he was supposed to win King of the Ring.
Yeah, that's true.
You know,
that's true. Something
you want me to shoot with you, JR? I'll fucking shoot with you.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. I'm the game, to somebody said once.
Yeah,
the debut of Cactus Jack.
Oh yeah, oh
you know,
yeah,
that was
awesome.
That Raw, you know, where they had the Falls Count Anywhere against Triple H. I mean, so there really were a lot of moments that they've you can't use the Benoit. I can see them not even using the Owens.
Yeah,
although they'd have no problem mocking the size of his nose on moment number 7, but you know, I just I can't. I mean, there's titles have changed hands on Raw.
Right,
you know,
that Owen beat up Jason Sensation was a great moment.
Yeah, it was too.
You know?
But, I mean, titles change, but...
I think the first time that Ken Shamrock snapped was on a Raw. And
when he like suplexed all the referees or whatever. Well, remember that chair shot that The Rock gave Ken Shamrock?
Yeah.
Where he said, just
hit
me right here and whack, right?
Yeah.
Even the return of the Legion of Doom.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Remember that moment when we were sitting
for
in that bar?
Oh, fuck, how are you going to forget the animal climbing the fucking Titan trunk?
That's right, to get Droz Hawk.
Oh, Hawk,
and
right.
Droz
right.
went
yeah.
after him.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Hawk falls off the Titan trunk.
Hawk
yeah.
falls off the Titan trunk.
Pepper steak. My daddy. I mean, all of those boss man moments. But, I mean, I'll never forget that return of the Legion of Doom, because I'll never forget thinking of it like I was getting ready in the morning. Like, in the bathroom, I was getting ready, and I thought, you know, I haven't seen the Legion of Doom in a while.
Yeah, I was thinking about them, too. I remember that. I was thinking about something about that same time.
And then that night, we were at that bar that we used to go to
and
watch Raw, and it was like, they're like, oh, we've got a surprise for everybody to fight the Head Shrinkers. And I went, and then it immediately went, and you're like, how the fuck did you know that?
Yeah, I'm like,
how did you know that? I'm like, I was just thinking about it this morning. I'm like, I don't know. It's like... just the weirdest thing.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's, you know, never forget that. So, all right. Well, that's the list. That's the moments. I think that's going to probably do. Do you have anything else? Oh, I have to, you know, Ric Flair,
Carlito.
Yes, when he cut the promo backstage.
Yeah, that moment.
That was a great moment, actually.
Amazing.
That was a great moment. Very quickly, just to end, because we'll bookend our good friend Stephen Ajami asked us, do you think that, well, when do you think CM Punk should lose the title, or should he have lost it already, was his question.
He should not have lost it already.
No.
I think Yeah. Shit. The Rock at Royal Rumble is the right time.
Yeah, I think.
I mean, I would love to say that he should hold it till WrestleMania because it'll mean more, but the fact is it won't.
No.
So, The Rock WrestleMania is the right time.
Well, I think that...
The Rock Royal Rumble is the right
time. Rock Royal Rumble, I think we're in agreement with that.
You should not have watched it yet, no.
No, no, and the Rock at Royal Rumble is the right time. I think, again, when you get to that list that Heyman had, even, you know, in terms of the total title reign,
yeah.
He's going to surpass John Cena in, I don't know, a week.
Yeah.
To be down that number five spot.
Yeah.
Behind, you know, the Backlund, the two Brunos, the Pedro. It would be number six, I guess, and then Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
But he's not getting any higher than that because Hogan was champion for 4 years.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Right? So that's as high as he's going to get.
You've maximized it.
You basically he's going to be in the same spot if he loses at Royal Rumble or he loses at WrestleMania, basically, right? He's going to tack on 60 more days or something, right? So not a big deal. The Rock is the right thing.
The only reason why would be if he was managed to hold on to it, you know, at Royal Rumble, it would be a big surprise to people and maybe create a boost going in so that people go, I don't know if he's going to ever lose it, type deal at WrestleMania. You know, that's the only reason I could think of a positive from it, but it's not. The Rock at Royal Rumble is the right guy. The Rock versus John Cena for the title,
is the right match. And that's the whole thing, because I don't see a rematch of that doing
anything.
As
far as losing it before that, no. To who?
Yeah, exactly. And the only thing that I would say...
Daniel Bryan? No, I love Daniel Bryan, but no.
The only reason that... you love Daniel Bryan, and I love Daniel Bryan, but apparently not as many fans love Daniel Bryan as love Kane. That are on Twitter.
That's bullshit.
Especially when they say Daniel Bryan is trending on Twitter. Vote Bryan or whatever the hell they said, WWE
yeah.
Bryan, is trending on Twitter.
Yeah, but Kane beats
him. And Kane is not, and yet Kane beats him. I was like, fucking, that's just
whatever.
Retarded. But I knew that's where they were going when they showed the presidential map thing,
they
right?
They wanted to be all clever.
Well, you know, because then, yeah, the red states beat the blue states, you see. So a Republican beat a Democrat, pal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fuck it. Everywhere but Connecticut, it was weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't understand. But, I look at that. The only thing that is not going to happen, I'm not even going to say that I'm predicting it's going to happen, is just should they have this mentality, and I don't agree with this mentality, but should they have the mentality, the only reason that Punk holds on and beats The Rock at the Royal Rumble
mm-hmm.
is if you do CM Punk and The Undertaker.
For the belt.
For the belt at WrestleMania. Bell versus the Streak, and Punk ends the Streak.
That'd be awesome.
I'd
really like that.
I don't want to see the Taker Streak end.
I do.
I know you do, and we disagree on that. We have many times. But, I mean, that's the only reason that Punk retains. At that same time, though, I don't think a rematch of Rock and Cena means anything without the title, really, at this point. Okay?
It means something,
but
not
as
much.
No, yeah. But I think that Punk and Taker doesn't need
the title. They have to get, here's the problem. Cena right now needs to get a lot of big wins in a row leading into WrestleMania against big-name opponents. And who's out there for that? Nobody.
No, that's right.
Yeah, that's a big problem. All right, let's get the hell out of here. O-U-T.
Fuck
Mo,
yeah.
Mo, We Talk Podcast. Mo, _ We Talk.
That's Twitter.
That's my Twitter, yes. Yeah. Mo, We Talk Podcast.com. Stitcher, iTunes, We Talk Wrestling, We Talk Podcast. We Talk Comics. We Talk Fantasy Football. What do we do?
You talk too much.
I fucking do.
Yeah.
Anyways, it's late. I got to get up early in the morning. You're not working tomorrow, so you don't
I honestly don't give a fuck. @ADDIE, @WeTalkWrestling.com. We're @WeTalkWrestling on Twitter. As Mo mentioned, we're on Stitcher. We're on iTunes, so you can subscribe to us on iTunes. You can, and it's very nice. Thank you to everyone that's left a comment and rated us. We really appreciate that.
Helps. Same thing on Reddit. Thanks for the support.
Yes. So. And WeTalkWrestling.com is the website. So that's going to do it for yet another edition of We Talk Wrestling. So in the meantime and in between time, that's it. Another edition of We Talk Wrestling. Good night, folks.
Hey, Addy, did I warn people we were going to say fuck on this show?
No, you didn't fucking warn anybody, and I'm pretty fucking pissed off that you didn't.